just for clarification, did you mean that the 34-count case in which Donald Trump was found guilty of various financial crimes was politically motivated here in New York?
I found that when the judicial system gets weaponized and targeted political enemies for political gain, I think that's inappropriate, and I think that degrades our collective trust in this a very important institution, whether that's on a Democratic going after a Republican or a Republican going after a Democratic one. And I like to think I call it strikes and balls, because the judicial the system has to remain impartial. I mean, that's really the cornerstone of our society.
When Fetterman could talk, and the things he said was completely different than this new Fetterman. Fetterman goes out there now, and all of his talking points are neocon, basically Israeli Likudnik talking points. So I think a PR firm, with whatever's happened to him, when he disappeared for 8-9 months, he's come back, and now he reads exact Mark Levin talking points in live time. So this is a major scandal, folks.
Opinions have become actual real news. And yeah. we've lost the ability. Like, you know, like opinions are not news.
Right.
You know, and there are so many points out there in the world now. Like, why are people still talking about Tucker Carlson? Are any of these people? Now, even Alex Jones now is back. You know, I have to see that in my feed anymore. You know, why? Because if they are criticizing Trump, it's like now sometimes we in the Democrats say, well, maybe they have a point. You know, MTG Crazy Pants. Why are we keep hearing about her now?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, it's like, you know, like focusing on real news and the real dynamic there. You know, I'm so tired of if opinions have become news, and now there's countless ones,
right,
and it's all become slop.
And let me just make the point. This is a. This is an entertainment show.
It says real
on an.
This is the title.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot more real than that other, let me tell you.
You have the washed up Dan Crenshaw, who people thought was a conservative until they actually looked at his voting record, voted for the Democrats half the time. You've got zombie Fetterman, and you've got Bill Maher that, you know, it's overall a well-written show, well done. It still has 3 or 4 million viewers. That's still small. You had Johnny Carson with 40 million, back when there were only 200 million people in the country.
People say he'll never take a serious controversy. Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that? But you're not. Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And, you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
You have the Democrat senator and all these other people with the same talking points saying, don't listen to Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and MTG. Listen to us. They're fake news. We're real. Well, what has been fake here? I show you a clip. You decide for yourself. 99% of what we do is just commentary on things that are going on, and I predict of what I think is going to happen, and I'm almost always right. That's what they don't like. There's articles and videos and my own notes about those videos that I'm going to play. That's it. I'm the captain of this ship. Dems accept someone like Alex Jones if they're anti-Trump. Let's be clear. Democrats don't listen to my show. They might watch clips. They don't buy anything from me. But I don't tailor what I say to an audience. I say what I believe is right, and then people that think that has value tune in. You guys tailor what you say off the system and the establishment so they keep thinking I think like them. No, I'm who I am. I'm like a restaurant owner that's a chef. These are the foods I like. This is the stuff I think is tasty and delicious. This is what I cook, and I have confidence in what we put on our menu, and if you like it, you like it. And guess what? If we're a restaurant, we got lines around the block. These guys don't. make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live today on the Alex Jones Network. Remember, you can always find us at alexjoneslive.com, on Rumble as well, at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's where you find us there. And I've heard that we're gonna have our own dedicated Rumble channel very soon, so stay tuned for that. I think we've earned it. I think we deserve it. A Rumble channel of our own. But really, there's like a million Rumble channels because some people upload our stuff just on their own volition. There's lots of outlets. I don't even want to say some of them because we like that they operate with or without our permission. It's all free to air after all. But we need a home base. We need one place to send everybody to, especially since, you know, we're planning on, I at least am spearheading this. Whether the crew is aware or not, I'm not sure. But I want to start including the Rumble chat more into the show, whether it'll be with super chats or the crew highlighting comments and questions that they can put up on screen for me to answer. I think that would be very fun and very helpful. So we got a lot of news today. Big show for you here on the 12th of May, 2026. And we're going to start with the latest breaking news from Donald Trump. He, of course, is on his way to China. Big delegation of big tech leaders coming along with him, which is interesting because obviously this is who the real government is. It's very interesting how he's going to China and he's bringing along Elon Musk and Alex Karp and all of these big tech leaders and not a lot of politicians coming along with him. And I think it's, whether we like it or not, what is happening right in front of our eyes is the global government corporatocracy is being established right in front of us. And not only do they already have the pseudo political authority to be making deals overseas or, you know, acting as if they're sovereign entities, we're going to see that codified and solidified and their position actually made real and concrete over time. The Board of Peace has to do with this. The fact that we're moving away from the UN has to do with this. So if you want to understand the global government, imagine instead of the UN with Russia, America, China, Israel, or, you know, Iran, Ireland, like instead of countries, imagine Amazon and Microsoft and OpenAI. And there'll be multinational corporations that essentially have sovereignty. And there are already corporations like this, like the IMF, basically is not under control of any single government. It is a government unto itself. It has the, you know, police forces and extradition treaties. I mean, there's already, through Bretton Woods and the construct of the world order post-World War II, there's already a precedent for this. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this happening, kind of like when I was talking about yesterday, the Prime Minister of Japan. She'll come to America and she'll do the state dinner and she'll meet with the President of the United States and then she'll meet with the real leaders. Then she'll go to dinner with Alex Karp and Peter Thiel and whoever else represents the real power behind the throne, the real authority and the real seat where sovereignty lies. So, and of course, on top of this, you've got the data centers, which are being built by these organizations, these corporations, Oracle, Palantir, these big pseudo-free, pseudo-governmental entities that are building out the control grid for our enslavement. So they're doing that, again, sort of in flagrant disregard to the will of the people or the laws of the United States, because they are, in fact, setting themselves up as the ultimate authority and the true sovereigns of our world. And so the fact that Trump is bringing along a bunch of these people on his trip to China, not exactly surprising, but they're certainly not out for our interest. They have their own interest, and they're simply using America as a vehicle to enrich or benefit themselves. Now, Donald Trump was on his way to the helicopter to go to China for this big state trip, and he, of course, as he's wont to do, stopped by the press gaggle and answered some questions, and has made probably one of the biggest faux pas of his entire political career. If you've been online, you've seen this spread everywhere, because the instant that he made this comment, it went absolutely viral. We'll go to it now, clip 28. Trump, when asked about the Iran war and the negative economic effects of the Iran war, responds saying, "I don't think about American financial situations." The audio is a little rough, but here's Donald Trump about an hour ago.
Even a little bit. It's the only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. You cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all. That's the only thing.
So what the hell was that? So what is that about? What type of response is that for the American president to say? Because I'm sort of two minds. On one hand, let's put the best spin on this that we can. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's steel man Donald Trump right here. Because I can understand that in his mind, probably what he was thinking, the argument he was making, was saying, this is so important. It's a life or death existential crisis. I didn't think about anything else, because what could be more important than that? And I could understand that. Right? It's like, all right, if your, you know, daughter's about to be hit by a car and you rush over to scoop her up, people are like, did you think about the, you know, economic consequence of that? You're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I had a life to save. I'm going to save the life and deal with the consequences in the future. Okay. So that's the steel man, right? The steel man is Donald Trump is saying, look, this is an existential crisis. It's life or death. Hey, the economy is important, but when you're talking about 100 million people dying in a nuclear flash, sorry, the money's not going to stop me from doing what's necessary. I'm willing to put it all on the table to do what's right. So that's what he was trying to say. I think that's what he was trying to get across. There's a couple problems with that. The main one being that the threat is non-existent. So there's that, right? Yeah, of course, Drudge Report has this red text, because here's the thing. This is, if nothing else, a sign of Trump sort of slipping, maybe not mentally slipping like we saw for Joe Biden, but losing his touch might be another way to put it. Because there's a way to answer this and to get across exactly the same message, but do it in a smarter and more acceptable way. Obviously on Drudge Report, they have the quote, "I don't think about American financial situations at all. I don't." What? So in a midterm where the economy is like the number one issue for Americans across the board, you don't care. So you recognize that it's bad, but you don't care. Obviously, the better way to say this would say, of course I care about Americans' financial difficulties, but we're talking about a life and death situation. And at the end of the day, I want them to be alive. I want Americans to be able to live and spend their money. So that was my priority. There was a way to say this that would have been more tactful, that would have been more understandable, that would have been better and still would have gotten the message across. But what he's trying to do is emphasize that Iran was and is an existential threat, and they're going to make a bomb, and anybody talking about anything else is just distracting you from the life or death situation that Trump is heroically saving us from. The problem is that's not true at all, according to everybody except for Trump and Mossad. Trump, and Mossad, that is, Mossad told Trump that Iran was trying to get a nuclear weapon and that it would be an existential crisis if they did. Nobody else believes that. Nobody else. This is, we had the story yesterday. Basically, every intelligence community in America has come out saying they're not going for a bomb. They weren't going for a bomb. They were actually obeying to the JCPOA or the newer, agreement that they tried to get Trump to sign. They would have probably comported themselves in line with the strictures of that agreement. They aren't and weren't going for a nuclear weapon, had no capability to do so at the time. They could have started up at some point, but why would they do that? Now, so on the face of it, right, he is saying it's worth it to make this sacrifice of the American economy because there's this existential threat. But that existential threat doesn't actually exist. In whatever form it did exist as a potentiality, it has only been made more of a threat following this war. So it's like layers of this, right? It's like layers of absurdity, layers of failure for Trump's rhetoric in this case. Clearly, the message I received, and I think most Americans received, was, I don't care about your economic well-being. That is essentially what he said, which is troubling because gas is creeping up to $5 a gallon these days, and the economy was kind of your main thing, and if anything, would be the thing that would, you know, that Trump could succeed in. I mean, you know, you got questions about getting deportations done or whatever else. The economy was something that Trump focused on and seemed to understand and cared a lot about. So why doesn't he care anymore? This just got announced. Trump's Golden Dome for America missile defense system estimated to cost $1.2 trillion over a 20-year period. Well, we can get into what's involved in that, but you know who's running that, right? You know who's running the Golden Dome digital dome system, right? It's Tom Alexandrovich, the pedophile that was arrested in Las Vegas and then allowed to flee to Israel. He's the one that's coordinating with all of the other countries who are all outsourcing their cybersecurity to the state of Israel, which is insane, which is an insane thing to do. They're going to blow your phone up when it's next to your head. And this is really very, very troubling. And again, it's like, how do we get across the concept that the sky is blue? This is the trouble I have. I'm sitting here going, what do I need to do to explain to the American people that the sky is blue and things fall down when you drop them? Like, because what I'm saying is, how do I explain, how do we get across to people that America is a different country than Israel? You would think that would be enough. You would think I just did it. You would think I wouldn't even need to explain it. Yeah, there's two different names because they're two different countries. But like this is apparently not understood by people in power. We've got a story today of a mayor who's been arrested and charged with being a spy for China, foreign influence. And I get that. I approve of that. I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of it for every foreign country. There seems to come this weird crossover when it comes to Israel and America, where the people in power genuinely do not see a difference between these two countries. See, what it should be is that America builds our own infrastructure for national security, but we so often outsource it to Israel, and yet it's treated as if it's internal. It's like American politicians will be like celebrating, we got the contract, you know, we will be supplying, you know, security, and it's Israel. And it's like, that's, stick with me here, a different country than our country. Okay, it's a whole different country, a whole different people, a whole different belief system, form of government, morals. Wars that they're in aren't our wars. Laws that they pass aren't our laws. So why is Israel treated like it's a 51st state? Why is it, better than that. Why is it treated like it is America plus? I really have to wonder that. Especially when all of the big tech executives going along with Donald Trump, ostensibly representing America in an American contingent, in an American diplomatic envoy to China, why are they all, or a vast number of them, dual Israeli citizens who will often reiterate their loyalty to a foreign state and not America, even if they are wearing the, you know, 3-inch wide, grandma brooch with the American flag. It's a little bit obvious where their loyalty actually lies. I'm talking, of course, about like Alex Karp from Palantir, things like that. It's a little bit disturbing that to a lot of people in power, it just seems to not matter whether the people representing America are actually Americans and actually have America's interests first and foremost. Like right now, you've got a story. I had it yesterday. I'm not sure if the crew can pull it up. That, or maybe the day before, Apple is now outsourcing some of the construction of its devices to Israel. And once again, you've got Tim, whatever his name is, Tim Apple up there, you know, shaking hands with the Israeli diplomat, making this a, you know, it's a big smiling thing. Hey, we're bringing jobs back, you guys. It's like back to there, back to a foreign country. Amazing. Thank you, Apple. You're so patriotic. And you got to wonder, okay, what does that mean for safety? What does it mean for safety when we've already seen Israel use small electronic devices to carry out terror attacks and indiscriminately bomb thousands and thousands of people all throughout Lebanon? Are you telling me that Apple has now signed an agreement with Israel to, I don't know, perhaps, you know, build out little bombs inside every one of their devices? Maybe every Apple device will have a kill chip in it, like an episode of Black Mirror. You know, it'll be a matter of Alex Karp pulling up your digital ID, pressing the X button, and, you know, blowing your hand off in an instant. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I wouldn't worry so much about this if it was America doing it, but it's not America doing it. It's a foreign country. It's a foreign state who doesn't seem to have our best interests in mind. And yet they're going to increasingly be involved in, and rather in control of, our manufacturing, our big tech companies, our surveillance infrastructure, our digital security infrastructure, the cyber dome. And it's like they're creating the one world government Tower of Babel, stateless morass, just sort of by chutzpah, by confidence, right? That typically any of these things would beg the question, like, hold on, if this is an issue of national security, shouldn't we be in charge of it and not Israel? Well, wait a second. If we're not Israel, we are America and they're Israel, should we not treat them like a foreign country and maybe not consign our computer chip manufacturing to them? Just on the suspicion, on the basis, on the possibility, however far-fetched, that Israel might want to put things in our phone that give it the ability to surveil or attack or manipulate or control us. Do you remember how they got Syria? Do you remember how they ran over Syria in about 2 weeks? The Al-Jolani Brigade, the horde, the Muslim ISIS horde took over Syria. Do you remember how they did it? They did it because the Israelis had tricked the wife of the president into endorsing a phone app that gave soldiers like $5 or $10. And so every single soldier, more or less, in the Syrian army downloaded the Israeli spy app, and it gave them total communication control when the attack eventually launched. So commanders in the field couldn't get their orders. They could get conflicting orders. I mean, imagine you're in the field. An attack has begun. There's an invasion of your country. You're trying to follow orders, and the people sending you orders have hijacked your phone from Israel and are sending you off in a wild goose chase while the, you know, actual army moves in and slaughters the people where you previously were. That's how they won Syria. They won it through a phone app. How did they take out so many of Hezbollah's higher up people? Yeah, how a spyware app compromised Assad's army. They infiltrated the manufacturing process and the supply chain for the pagers and blew up the pagers in your pocket. And now Apple is announcing that the iPhone 17e has a chip developed in Israel. The new iPhone 17 model supports Apple's AI tools, features faster wireless charging, and includes the new C1X modem developed by the company's silicon team. And it's being developed in Israel, meaning that if Israel should so choose, you know, if they're the type of nation that would do something like implant surveillance devices in consumer electronics to get an edge politically, they now have the ability to not just implant things into your phone, implant things into your phone under the root file structure, in its hardware, on in its base. So your phone can't do anything without going through this chip. They can implant anything onto your phone through this chip. They could even potentially weaponize the chip, which is still what I suspect they may have actually done with the pagers in Hezbollah. They say that they packed pagers full of explosives. I still don't believe that, because I don't believe that Hezbollah would have gone like 10 years carrying these pagers around without a single time a pager breaks open and there's explosives inside, or they have, you know, a security protocol that detects explosive material. Nothing was discovered for 10 years. I think the explosives packed in the pagers was a cover story for the fact that they could weaponize the lithium batteries in pagers and make them explode without adding any, you know, extra goodness. So they could very well do that with Apple. Again, is that crazy? Is that a crazy thing to suggest? Am I an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist for simply recognizing a pattern of Israelis using consumer electronics in warfare to defeat their enemies, often targeting civilian populations? And now I see the way in which they continue to move and aggress towards total domination of the American tech landscape, in control of every major manufacturing company and software big tech company, being aligned fully with Israel and being sent by Israel to America with a wad of cash, just like Jeffrey Epstein, only instead of insinuating themselves with scientists and models like Jeffrey Epstein was doing, insinuating themselves with Silicon Valley to get the high-powered positions there, or get blackmail on the people with the high-powered positions there. This is the type of stuff that we aren't even trying to stop, that the American government has been infiltrated to such a degree that they aren't even investigating. And you can go watch interviews with John Kiriakou. You can go find investigations or statements made by congressmen from back in the day about the way in which Israel has infiltrated and continues to be the number one spying threat to America, because they are not our friends. They're our enemies. They're not our allies in any real sense. They are biding their time, in my opinion. So I see all of this coming together. And again, the fact that Donald Trump would come out and so insultingly disregard the economic well-being of the American people because he believes the lie of Iran's nuclear weapon threat, it's insulting. It's ridiculous. And it tells you where his real priorities are, because understand that I can't read his mind. Maybe he thinks the threat is real. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But what I know is when he says, I don't care, I didn't think about American economics whatsoever, you can sort of apply that to anything. What he's saying is, I will burn the country down. I will sacrifice my presidency. I will sacrifice the Republican Party. I will sacrifice America itself, its economic prosperity, or the well-being of its people. I will sacrifice all of it because this lie I've been told supersedes it all. It's the only thing that matters. Economic destruction isn't, you know, you can't ride the roller coaster three times, you can only ride it two. It's starvation. It's your life being destroyed. It's having to change jobs and get divorced. It's major catastrophe. And Trump says, that's fine, I don't even think about it, let alone care. That's crazy.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking pee sizes. I am talking about micro pee becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro pee chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f- It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think, was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I'm going to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. Cancel any time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go to support us. And today's the last day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale. You're getting one free bottle of Shilajit gummies when you buy a bottle of Shilajit gummies. Or you can get the Ultimate Creatine and get a bottle of Ultimate Creatine when you buy a bottle of Ultimate Creatine. It's BOGO subs, buy one, get one supplements, the Shilajit gummies. I cannot recommend enough. They're extremely powerful. I love to combine them with the Irish sea moss gummies as well. The capsules are also fantastic. If you don't know what Shilajit is, just look it up. Just go to AI. What the heck is Shilajit? It'll tell you a story that sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings. It sounds like a tale that Gandalf would tell to Bilbo when explaining some sort of magical element, because that's genuinely what it is. It spontaneously arises on the top of the Altai Mountains and the Himalayas. And people who live there notice that the monkeys that live around there would eat this tar that comes up from the ground and would get energetic and would be jumping around. And so the people thought, all right, well, we'll give it a try. Turns out it's like this amazing superfood. It literally bubbles up from the ground like a miracle. And all you have to do is capture it, purify it. You know, it can have heavy metals if you get a lower quality version. You know, you don't want to go just like eating off the ground in the Himalayas. You're going to want to go to thealexjonesstore.com and find the product has been refined to the maximum degree, purified to where it's just the essentials and just the most powerful ingredients. Added on top of that, a delicious gummy flavor and the supplements that you need to make it bioavailable so your body can actually take advantage of all the nutrients that it's getting. Shilajit gummies, buy one, get one for absolutely free at thealexjonesstore.com. That sale ends today. Ultimate creatine powder, equally amazing for your body, but really fantastic for your brain. Excuse me, and how it helps to super boost your cognitive function. Ultimate creatine powder is now buy one, get one for free on thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today, and you can go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. So we got a lot of stories to cover today. Obviously, the war in Iran has some new developments with some new suggestions for, or, you know, proposals for ceasefires and peace agreements, once again being rejected. The consequences of the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz are beginning to be felt, and we're seeing a lot of people ringing the alarm bell and, you know, sounding the alarm, sending up the sirens about how bad things are getting, especially in India. They say they only have 60 days worth of stored fuel left. And it looks like it may only go on till June. We may see a change in June. We've got some articles. They'll tell you about that. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about what's going on in the UK with Keir Starmer being destroyed in the latest elections and basically everybody around him wanting him to step down, but he's refusing to and continuing like nothing's changed. We'll definitely be talking about what the UK is getting up to these days. And then there's the data centers. The data center discussion has been blowing up on X, and I've been right in the middle of it, fighting with all I've got to make people aware of and recognize and respect what's really happening here. And I'm getting in fights with people that I like, people that I don't usually fight with. Yet there's something about certain topics that I can agree with somebody 99% of the time. Something like data centers comes up, something like Israel comes up. And it feels to me, from my subjective view, like they go off the rails and completely insane, start not making any sense. And really, they all devolve to the same argumentation style, which is pretty simple. It's just to call you stupid, not refute anything that you said, and just hope that the confidence game of you think that's true, you're just too dumb to understand my argument, so you haven't made one. How about you make an argument? How about you tell me literally anything that I say is wrong and then show me how it's wrong? And then we can start there, because the data centers are bad. The data centers are bad. They're not good. They're not necessary. They're not a new innovation in technology that is going to be benign, if not positive, for the American people, because that's how it's being treated. You have a lot of people responding. I think I have a tweet from Joel Berry about this, Babylon Bee guy. And again, it's weird that it's like always the same people. Most of the time, right? Joel Berry, I agree with when it comes to the left. When it comes to things like Israel or data centers, he seems like a complete idiot. It's kind of weird. So he says, nobody in America, or I wish I knew who it was, but they don't have the original tweet here. Because I don't want to credit the wrong person. But basically, a tweet went viral yesterday. Here you go, from Emerald Robinson. That's who it is. And she says, nobody in America voted for data centers. Nobody in America voted for AI. Nobody in America voted for surveillance capitalism. Again, just pointing out that we're having to fight back against something. We're having to try to vote our way out of something we never voted our way into. They never put this to a vote. They never made the argument. They never presented us with a deal and said, here's what we want to do. Here's what you get in return. Can we do this? That never happened. What they said was, you know, oh, crap, you figured out that we're building a data center. Shoot, you weren't supposed to figure that out yet. Shut up, we're doing it anyway. That's basically how it's happened. It's like the beginning of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they're going to bulldoze his house. And they're like, there was a time for you to object. It just, you know, wasn't scheduled. To find how to object, you had to you know, go into a basement that didn't have stairs and get past the leopard into the disused laboratory where the file cabinet is. You didn't know that? You didn't know you were supposed to go find that? Like, that's sort of how they're doing it with the data centers. They're just getting all the plans in place. They're getting everything set up. They're ready to go, ready to hit the button. And then they're like, we got to have a meeting real quick. We're going to have a county meeting. We're going to have a city meeting. The city councilors are going to rush through it, and then we'll get this thing done. And then 200 people show up and try to shut the whole thing down, and it makes the councilors look like idiots or puppets when they drive forward with it anyway. But they really want this just to happen without anybody noticing. Unfortunately for them, we've noticed. We've noticed what they're doing. We've noticed how bad it is for everybody involved, and we're standing up against it. And so as Emerald Robinson points out, nobody voted for this. Nobody wants this. They never asked us about any of this stuff. They're just doing it anyway. Now, what is she talking about? What she's talking about are the data centers, which are hyperscale data centers, which are unbelievably enormous, take up an immense amount of land, an immense amount of electricity, an immense amount of water, and all these other sorts of, you know, precious resources. It also creates all sorts of noise pollution and light pollution and vibrations that affect the health of farm animals within like a couple miles. There's a lot of big problems. So what is Joel Barry's response to this? What is his snarky, you know, inversion of this perfectly reasonable statement by Emerald Robinson? Joel Barry says, nobody in America voted for the steam engine. Nobody in America voted for powered flight. Nobody in America voted for the microprocessor. And thankfully, no one voted for American technological innovation to be policed by hysterical Karens on the internet. And I responded to this just like this. I mean, people don't actually buy this, do they? I mean, that's not an argument people actually think is good, do they? What Emerald Robinson is pointing out is that these data centers, like, he's like the invention of the steam engine. Did somebody just invent data centers and we're like, no, an idea we don't like? Or is it the tangible physical effect it has when you build 2,000 data centers all over the country without asking permission? Was that, did that happen when the, you know, Orville brothers, started flying planes? Was that something that they did? Did that require communities all throughout America to be kicked out of their homes and give up their potable drinking water for them to build airplanes? No, no, they just, it was an invention. So you're conflating an invention with a like brand new ecologically devastating industry that's being created with enormous resources, an enormous imposition on the people who live in the areas where the resources are being captured. So what the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? They're acting like data centers are just like a creative new creation. It's a new iPad. It's a new iPod, and we're all freaking out about it. Do people actually buy that? And do people actually buy the extrapolation of the, you know, underlying concern that it's like, well, you drive a car to get around, therefore, you're not allowed to complain about a brain chip in your head. It's all technology, right? All technology is equal. And if you oppose one new technology, that means you oppose all new technologies everywhere and are a Luddite and are scared of the future. And so you're just, you know, superstitiously lashing out at things you don't understand. It's an absurd position for them to hold, but they all seem to hold it. All the people arguing against this seem to conflate genuine complaints and concern about the tangible physical impact of these gigantic, enormous, unimaginably sized server farms being built on farmland in their backyard, conflating that with like the creation of a microphone, the creation of the microchip, the invention of the steam engine. Oh, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because the question I wanted to ask, the question I genuinely have not heard an answer to yet, is why? Why are we doing this? What is the argument? What is the benefit for us? The only response these people have is to either downplay the costs, right? So I'll sit here and go, well, you're giving up your water, you're giving up your land, you're giving up, you know, you get charged a ton more in electricity. All of this is being subsidized by, you know, federal funds that are going through the Department of Justice into Palantir and OpenAI and all of these AI companies that are building the data centers in cooperation with NVIDIA. What is the benefit? We're spending all of this money. We're doing all this stuff. Like, people are comparing it to nuclear energy. And they're saying, basically, we could have had nuclear energy, but all of these naysayers, these scaredy cats back in the 60s, were so scared of a little nuclear meltdown that, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot. We could have had a nuclear country, but it was this fear-mongering by these people who were just scared of an uncertain technology. And it's like, okay, nuclear power plants, you know, my response to this is that nuclear power plants have a minuscule but still existent threat and a risk of catastrophic meltdown. And that's what they're, you know, scared of, that catastrophic meltdown. But it's a potential and it can be mitigated. And in all likelihood, nothing bad will ever happen with a nuclear power plant, meaning that that fear that they experience about it would be unfounded. And to not build the power plant on the basis of that fear would be to limit your technological progress on the basis of non-existent threats. With data centers, the threat is not potential. It's not a possibility. It's not a risk. It's an absolute certainty. You cannot build a data center without the energy that you require, without the water that you require, without the imposition on the farm owners or the eminent domain destroying your home. It's not a risk. It's an absolute certainty. These things are incumbent on building data centers. So it's not a risk. It's not a unfounded or baseless or overblown fear. It's a genuine concern and a genuine outrage at people who've already been subjected to it. It's not like people are sitting here going, the data centers are going to be too loud. I think they're going to be too loud. And it's like, what? They're super quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. That would be a baseless, you know, objection. No, what you have is people sitting on their porch going, I can't talk to my neighbors because the data center is so damn loud. And it's just like, so what are you talking about? So you have people, you have real human beings being negatively affected by this thing, having their, you know, home destroyed by this thing, who are objecting to it and saying, hey, look, this doesn't benefit me. It just hurts me. It's hurting me personally. It's hurting our community. It's ruining my life or costing me hundreds of thousands of dollars in the case of a house that you bought, paid off, and now can't sell because it's next to a data center. This sucks. And you have people on the other side going, well, shut up. It's worth it. And then the question is, what? What is worth it? What are we getting? What is the benefit to us? Because the other thing, the conflation that they make, the I cannot help but believe to be deliberate straw-manning of the argument because they have no argument to the actual concerns and objections that are being made, is they once again extrapolate. When I sit here and go, America already has over 4,000 major data center buildings. We already have in America 8 times the amount of the next leading country in terms of numbers of data centers. We already run a major like surplus of the compute power that the data centers bring us. And yet we are like draining lakes, draining aquifers and underwater reservoirs to frantically spend trillions of dollars to build out 3,000 more. Why? Why? And people look at that and they go, don't you realize you're on the internet right now? To which the obvious response is like, yeah, so why do we need 3,000 more data centers? It seems to be working fine, actually. It seems to be able to handle the stress. And the thing is, why does America have to have all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of data centers? Why does it have to be America? And if it's really that just like the traffic explosion and the, you know, us sending text to each other on X, this is literally a Jeremy Kaufman guy. It's like, you idiot, you say there's nothing good about data centers, but you're on X when you say it. And it's like, first of all, I never said nothing good about data centers. I said data centers do not do anything good for the people being affected by the data centers. Duh. Hello. Duh. Go tell the girl we showed yesterday in Georgia. Yeah, sure. Your beloved childhood home is being wrecked so some wires can be strung to the next, SoftBank, data center. But hey, the good news is the Netflix that runs fine, it's going to continue to run fine. And you'll be able to, you know, create images of a hot dog flying an airplane 3% faster now. So isn't it worth it? your childhood home being destroyed? Aren't you happy we did that? What? What are you talking about? What is the argument? What is the actual this for that, quid pro quo? We take your house in exchange. I guess ostensibly the argument is national security. So then you have to ask, what does that mean? What form of national security? Do you mean surveillance? You mean that it's all about surveillance? You mean that all we're doing is building a giant surveillance grid so that we can feed every second of our every day through the Internet of Things into a giant database so it can calculate outcomes and then alter input to get the desired outcome? Is that what you're saying when you say national security? Other people, you know, this is the Jeremy Kaufman guy. He's a big libertarian. And again, I like this guy. He's one of my favorite accounts on X, to be honest with you. He comes up with stuff that like is totally from left field. It's amazing. I'm not even insulting the guy, but there is a libertarian disability. There's a brain aneurysm or whatever that libertarians have where because it's corporations doing it, they don't care. And that was his response. Basically, it was like, well, if these, you know, data centers are so expensive, somebody's paying for it, it must be worth it. It's like, that's it. That's the argument. Is that because they exist, it's good they exist? What? And of course, it's especially absurd because it's obviously government money that's building it. Maybe not at the top, maybe not in the original outlay, but that's because you've got Oracle and OpenAI and all of these AI companies and NVIDIA and all these others who have guarantees for contracts with the DOD, the Department of Defense, to utilize AI in warfighting so that they make their money back tenfold, probably in a year or two. So sure, they're laying out $500 billion to build this stuff. That's private money. But they're only making that investment because it's absolutely assured by the United States government in two ways. One, in that these hyperscale data centers will be used for defense, for surveillance, for control of the American people. So they have agreements and contracts already in place to guarantee that they receive billions upon billions of dollars from the government for use of the hyperscale data centers that they're using. And if they don't, if the contracts don't come true or don't come to fruition and the promises aren't fulfilled, then suddenly you're going to have NVIDIA and OpenAI, the only companies keeping our stock market afloat, at the risk of failure. Gee, what happens next, do you wonder? Do you know? Have you figured it out yet? That they're building companies deliberately to be too big to fail so that if you try to stop them or try to interrupt them, they're just going to go to the government and demand that you backfill the trillions of dollars that they've pledged? It's crazy. It's crazy. People are not understanding what's going on here. Well, I mean, you drive a car, right? I mean, if you drive a car, then you have no right to complain about a giant data center in your backyard using all of your potable water. Sorry, you have used technology before, so guess you got to deal with it. I mean, these arguments don't make any sense. Then there's an argument about employment, but it's like, again, none of these things make sense for the investment that it costs. If you're just... And eventually it gets down to like, well, it creates jobs. Okay, a hyperscale data center that can be hundreds, if not thousands of acres wide can be run by 20 to 50 people. They max out at 200 permanent jobs. Your average Walmart store employs 300 people. Now, I understand a cashier at Walmart isn't the same level as some of the people that wouldn't be employed by a hyperscale data center. You're going to have coders and engineers and stuff. It's going to be higher paid positions. But again, the question is this worth it? Is it worth it to create around 100 jobs to spend all of the resources and inconvenience all of the people? Of course it's not worth it. It's ridiculous to say it's worth it. What would be worth it would be employing those same people on like fixing the roads or building dams or trying to eradicate the ticks that are making everybody, allergic to red meat. But no, we're putting all of this effort, all of this energy, and all of these resources into building our digital prison, and that's the obvious reason these things are being built. And I'm going to continue this in the next hour because it's like, I don't know, it's like I want to use Groundhog Day because that's not really what it's like. But I don't know, a Twilight Zone episode or something? It's like, we've learned all of this, folks. We've been over this. We've spent a decade understanding that the people in power are obviously not going to tell you exactly what they're doing. They're not going to sit here and go, yeah, we're building hyperscale data centers to be the digital panopticon to enslave you, scum. We think of you as animals. They don't say it like that, obviously, but that's what they believe, and that's what they mean, and that's what they're doing. And this is obvious, which is why one of the people I was arguing with on X, you know, said something, and I said, look, I get it. Trust the science. The vaccine was a great job creator. It's like, oh, well, I don't know. And it's like, well, isn't that the argument? I mean, didn't the vaccine create a bunch of jobs? I mean, you had the people giving out the vaccines. You had to have the, you know, police officers holding the people down to give them the vaccines. You had to have the vaccine manufacturers in the first place. Hell, you had to have the gain of function scientists in China to create the virus, to create the vaccine. So it was a job creator, wasn't it? Or maybe the jobs it did or did not create is not worth the devastating consequences of it, of its release. That's what we're dealing with data centers. So I'm going to remind you, we're going to go back in time and we're going to look at the last couple of years of the World Economic Forum laying out in perfect clarity the way in which they intend to cause scarcity of our most useful and necessary resources to force humanity into a digital prison system where they're constantly surveilled and their every movement can't happen without the approval of the people in power that control the big tech companies. Did you forget about that? Have you not seen the videos where they're talking about how water is a resource that could be very useful for controlling people because, hey, the vaccine, the virus, it can be a little bit vague, but people understand when they're thirsty. Did you forget about the fact that they have given speech after speech after speech about how they intend to commodify every single piece of nature, every tree, every rock, every river, every human being, so that they can fold it into a digital clone of the world and track it like it's a stock market, because they do literally intend to commodify the entire world, including you, your body, the food you eat, and the children that you have? And that's why these hyperscale AI data centers are being built. It has nothing to do with posting on X. It has nothing to do with sending emails. And even if that was the case, here's an idea. Instead of building twice as many data centers as we have now, even though we already have eight times as many data centers as the rest of the world or the next highest country, how about we stop providing the internet infrastructure for a billion Indians? How about we offload some of the traffic that our internet is burdened down by making it an American internet? No. Instead, we're going to kill your farm and build a monstrosity in your backyard. It's ridiculous. Wake up!
Huge new mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra Brain Booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off. That's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. Thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition T-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, skull crusher, brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like $100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Triple IP now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the, well, as Klaus Schwab puts it, the Pauli crisis. We're talking about the Pauli crisis, which is where you have a whole bunch of things go wrong all at the same time, all on purpose to drive people into a state of hysteria and insanity so that their fear response overwhelms their ability to logically deal with the situation and you can force them to do things they wouldn't normally do. It's happening and it's being engineered on purpose by the likes of the World Economic Forum and it's hitting us on every front. It is a true Pauli crisis, only one of a deliberate manufacture. And it has to do with the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz, the lack of fertilizer, the lack of oil, the economic downturn that is inevitably going to bring about, that's going to be sizable to say the least. Obviously, the war itself is a catastrophe on many fronts. And then on top of that, you've got the poisoning that's going on, the glyphosate, the Roundup, the immunity being given to them. On top of that, you've got the data center situation eating up all the water and making everything more expensive for everybody. All of this is on purpose to squeeze and to grind America down to where we don't have the will or wherewithal to resist. So let's go to clip 14 here. Farmers are sounding the alarm and nobody's listening. Let's watch.
I've got to show you guys something. This is traditional sweet corn. Now, what's really wild about this is not what we used to call our heirloom seeds. This is just our regular sweet corn that you buy off the shelf. This is GMO corn. Now, we grow this as our field corn. And the reason I want to show you this is I'm going to show you two things. This is heirloom corn. Now, we don't weed it. Normally, every year, this corn has come up and done really good for the last 10 years. Same seed, so I've grown it over and over, and we rotator crops, but also you look at the sunflowers. Don't you look at them sunflowers? The sun, I can't see it. Well, the sun basically is right there, and they've got the flowers have turned away from the sun. This is not something, obviously, if you look down this, that's our garden. We grow over an acre's worth of just garden. So what I'm trying to get at is, something's not right. There's two things ain't right. The amount of aluminum in our soil now is 5 to 10 times higher than it was even last year. Let me show you something else. Now that sweet corn is bought, like I said, from the store, so it's not an heirloom seed. It's supposed to be an all-natural seed. It's non-genetically GMO, but I'm starting to doubt it. However, these are cucumber plants. Now, traditionally, those cucumbers, I'd have so many, we after putting them on the stand, we'd be giving them away, giving them to food pantries. And our corn, you know, the heirloom corn, we'd be giving it away. Our garden this year has suffered the worst. It's not due for not water. These are some of our hot pepper plants. Normally, these plants, I would have so many of these hot peppers that you wouldn't be able, I wouldn't be, like I said, I couldn't sell enough of them. We'd be giving them away. And we, hopefully we have a better garden next year. So we still got enough that we're going to be able to maintain costs, operational costs. We still have our vegetable stand. It's just not booming like it usually is. We've let the weeds kind of come back up. and take over some of the gardens. We weren't getting the production out of it what we should. So the stand's good. We're going to can enough for our family, but as far as being able to provide for others.
All right, so there's a farmer warning about the aluminum content in the soil making the heirloom seeds not grow while the GMO seeds seem to grow fine. And yet it seems to be messing up the function of the actual flowers, where the sunflowers aren't even looking at the sun anymore. They're turning away from the sun. The chemicals in the soil are turning the freaking sunflowers retarded, folks. Do you not understand what's going on? You think this is an accident? You don't think this is on purpose?
The products at thealexjonesstore.com own and fund this network. They haven't got the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com, Bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue, hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people, people power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com.
Mentioned it yesterday when I was talking about my camping trip, but now that I saw that video and I'm seeing other videos, now I'm suspicious. Has anybody else noticed? Maybe we need to take calls on this. There have been no blue bonnets this year. Y'all notice that? Has the crew noticed that? Typically by May, you have fields of blue bonnets in Texas everywhere. In some cases, they seed the, the parts along the side of the highway and stuff, but there are a couple fields, especially near my house, where every year they're blanketed in blue bonnets. I've seen no blue bonnets this year. I wonder why. That seems a little bit weird. I just didn't really think about it much. But am I crazy? I mean, this wildflower season right now, there should be blue bonnets everywhere. Your Facebook and Instagram feed should be consumed by people taking pictures of their children and pets sitting in blue bonnet fields, but they're not. And that's kind of disturbing, actually, especially when it's combined with the farmer talking about how none of his heirloom natural plants are doing well. Oh, the 2026 bloom may be brief. Warm, dry weather could shorten Texas' iconic blue bonnet season in 2026. Okay. It's non-existent, so okay. It's just a little weird. I don't know. To me, seems a little weird. So what is this really all about? I have to say, we've been telling you for a very long time that everything happening right now is coordinated and useful to the people in power, orchestrated to a very detailed degree. And right now, you once again have basically 2020 on steroids. Everything that was happening in 2020, we are ramping up. Really, maybe it's like 2022. It's like instead of the Ukraine-Russia war, we've got the Iran-America war. Instead of COVID-19, we've got hantavirus. Instead of Black Lives Matter, we have Black Lives Matter still. Just they don't call themselves that anymore. Instead of Black Lives Matter, we have criminals with endless arrest records being let out over and over again to rape and kill to their heart's content. And we have the invasion, and we have the takeover of Europe moving forward as scheduled. Migrant crisis. More than 500,000 immigrants are massing in North Africa, ready to cross into Europe. More than 500,000 illegal migrants have massed in North Africa, readying to flood into Europe, the Greek government has warned. The country's migration minister, Thanos Plevris, sounded the alarm this week, revealing the Greek authorities believe around 550,000 migrants are in Libya alone waiting for the opportunity to break into the continent. continent. He told Greek media, those who are not entitled to asylum will be detained. Now, when it is likely that somebody will not get asylum, they're not placed in a freedom status, but in a detention status so that with the rejection of asylum, they can be returned. I say shoot the boats. Personally, I think you should shoot the boats. Or, you know, if for a less violent reaction, I say don't send the boats out to pick them up. Because you know how this works. The Greek and Italian governments are forced by the EU to provide rides to the invaders. So the invaders go about 1 mile or however far off the Libyan coast, send out a distress signal, and then the NGOs, quote unquote, show up and ferry them all into the heartland of America. Which is outrageous. So again, it's not just the fertilizer. It's not just the full on attack on the environment. Once again, you know, it might sound crazy for us to say stuff like this, but like you've got to understand who these people are. You've got to understand at this point what these people are willing to do. They released a virus that infected the world. They issued a vaccine that killed babies in the womb. They lied to you about it and push it on pregnant women. Do you not understand who we're dealing with yet? Do you not get what they're after, what they're going for, what's driving them? It's total, absolute control of the earth, and not just the human beings on earth. The food systems, the air, the water, they want all of it to exist only at their command. They want to supplant God. They want to replace nature itself. They are literally making it illegal to have backyard gardens. They are making it impossible to have outside gardens, you know, food grown in the outdoors because they're spraying chemicals into the air that inevitably seep down to the soil and poison the plants like we just saw from that farmer. They're obviously using pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate and all of these horrible chemicals that make it to where you cannot exist without getting your food from them, their GMO supply. Why do you think they're allowing China to fish the seas to extinction? Why do you think they're forcing the likes of the Dutch in the Netherlands to shut down their farms despite being the second most, you know, prosperous food producing country in the entire world? Because it's a lot more convenient and it's a lot easier to control people if absolutely everybody, you know, relies on their daily sustenance by getting it from you, from a giant, you know, apartment building filled with cages of pigs being injected with, you know, some sort of biological sludge to stop them from getting any diseases and to grow twice as fast. They want to create an unnatural and controlled system to where your every hour of life is dictated and approved of by them. And if you don't behave in the way they want, if you don't capitulate to their demands, what are you going to do? Go out and grow your own food? I don't think so. It's not going to happen. What are you going to do? Go out and hunt your own food? Not if the ticks do their jobs. What are you going to do? Have a backyard garden? First of all, it's illegal. Second of all, good luck with the aluminum in the soil. No. If you want to grow something, you get the GMOs from us. And if you want to eat meat, you get the lab-created sludge that Bill Gates popped out. There's no a male and a female mate and have a baby and the cycle of life continues as everybody benefits from the mutually beneficial production and husbandry of farm animals. No. Good Lord, no. No. You're gonna eat a 200-pound pig who's so fat it can't even see because the fat goes over its eyes, who's been injected with so many biological contaminants, hardly even looks like meat, or a literal cloned cancer cell that they're gonna call meat and make it illegal to sell the real meat. So nobody will have any comparison. The point is, these people are beyond evil. They're beyond manipulative, and they're beyond close to getting everything they want. So again, the video that we just saw was Julius Ray Tucker. He tested his soil and found 5 times more aluminum than last year. Yeah, that's your future right there. His GMO seeds are growing perfectly, but his heirloom crop is dying. What a coincidence. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is pushing GMO seeds engineered to thrive in aluminum-rich soil. Well, what do you know? And he's also geoengineering to deliver that aluminum from our skies. It's like he's some sort of supervillain or something. We are being ruled by extremely evil people who want only their GMO seeds to grow. They want total control of our food, our skies, the air, our soil, and what gets injected in our bodies. RFK Jr. and the head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, both promised to stop them from spraying chemicals in our skies. They need to make faster changes. Not a coincidence, obviously. So let's get into how this is functionally being unrolled, being unveiled, being forced down all of our throats. Let's go first to clip number four here. And this was one of the most strange interactions I've ever had on X. And it seems to be happening to me more and more recently where people, they must be AI or something themselves, because this person goes, you know, you're just fear-mongering. Show me one example of somebody having their house destroyed because of the data centers. So, of course, I sent him the video that we showed yesterday of the young woman in Georgia saying, my house is slated for eminent domain. The house I grew up in is being destroyed so that they can run power lines to the data center. And the guy responds, oh, so you've got one TikTok video of one girl, no confirmation. She could be saying anything. Okay, so you go to Grok. Tell us about this video. Is it real? Grok comes back with the articles, with the orders, with everything, saying, yep, turns out over 300, I believe 330, interesting number, I believe it's 330 private residences that are being destroyed or being slated for eminent domain removal so that they can build power lines to get to the hyperscale AI center that's being built in Georgia. And then the person responds to that just being like, see, you're wrong. It never happened. This is what I mean. It's like they demand evidence of something. You give them the evidence. They just pretend it doesn't exist. They just ignore it. They don't care. It's crazy. I don't get it. But yeah, this is happening. This is really happening. They really are taking people's homes to give them to Larry Ellison or Sam Altman so that they can, you know, do whatever they want. I don't know, build the surveillance system that's going to kill us all. So I can't understand what other benefit this would have ever. Again, I'm just driving that home. Nobody has explained it to me. Nobody said why it's a good thing. They've said a bunch of lies. They've said, well, you're on X. You like X, don't you? Yes, X runs on server farms, not data centers. Does not require hyperscale data centers. Works amazingly right now when we have half as many data centers as they say they want to have in the next few years. That's not a good reason. That's not a good excuse. So next excuse, please. Why do we need these data centers? What is the benefit? And I just keep saying that over and over because the obvious answer is it's a prison. It's a panopticon. That's the only reason it exists. And that's why they won't say it, because they don't want you to know that. Let's go to clip four here. I don't think we voted for people to lose their homes. No, we definitely did not vote for any of this. They're just doing it to us because they have the inordinate authority of the state, the monopoly on physical force. And if they want your house, they'll take it. Let's watch.
New tonight, Coweta County has given the green light for the construction of a massive $17 billion data center. The Board of Commissioners voted last night to rezone the 800 acres of land despite fierce opposition in the county. Now plans for the data center called Project Sail are full steam ahead, apparently. Tonight, Fox News' Rob Durienzo is at the live desk with a look at where residents are taking their fight now. Rob?
That's right, Russ. Good evening to you. Well, it was standing room only at this Board of Commissioners meeting in Coweta County over this massive data center. And after hearing from residents Tuesday night, the commissioners voted 3-2 to approve the rezoning.
This is a no-brainer for the county, and I will stake my political career on it. If you can run against me.
A tense vote Tuesday night in Coweta County as commissioners advanced plans for the $17 billion data center called Project Sail.
It's 9 buildings. More than 4 million square feet would require more power than the output of a nuclear reactor.
It's the right site for a data center project. It will bring good jobs and millions of dollars in revenue to the county per year.
While the head of the company behind the plan, Prologis, says it will boost the local economy, residents organized to campaign against it, fighting it tooth and nail.
It creates an industrial island in a sea of non-industrial land.
This proposed development is just 1,200 feet from Arco Sargent Elementary School and only 950 feet from a daycare.
Those residents opposed to the project wore red, arguing the jobs it would bring would only be temporary. Those in favor, like Chad Caldwell, wore blue. He thinks the county could seize on the money coming from Silicon Valley.
I know we need more money in this county. I know we need to work on roads, we need to build bridges, we need schools. And I think we're looking at a great opportunity to generate a tremendous amount of revenue.
As these data centers pop up all over the country to supply computing power for artificial intelligence, tech companies have increasingly been turning to Georgia. Within 60 miles of Atlanta, the website Baxtel has tracked 26 data centers currently under construction, with another 52 planned.
This area is already congested, and to add additional 4,000 vehicles daily in this area is asking for a tragedy.
Now, Russ, the permit that Coweta commissioners approved last night doesn't set forth a clear timeline of when construction could begin, but it does require that the developer has to fund road improvements and protect a private cemetery on the property.
Georgia Power to impact hundreds of properties and force 21 owners out via eminent domain for a $17 billion massive data center. Georgia Power is advancing a 35-mile, 500-kilovolt transmission line project across Coweta, Fayette, and Fulton County and Heard counties to meet surging electricity demand for AI data centers, including the recently approved Project Sail hyperscale campus in Coweta County. The project will affect hundreds of private parcels, primarily through easements, while 21 homes will be fully acquired and removed to accommodate the infrastructure. Because, of course, we need it. We have to have it. What would we do without it? And again, if you ask Grok, they say 330 houses are slated. But that could include all parcels, maybe not the houses. But there's a lot of people being severely inconvenienced by all of this. And then today I stumble on a question that is another wrinkle to all of this, right? First of all, John Mazena on X says, data centers are not uniquely energy hungry. One aluminum smelter draws as much power as all of Nashville. To which my response would be, yeah, but you get aluminum out of it. Yeah, but it creates a product that benefits people and you can sell and is tangible and physical and then becomes an engine of the economy. AI produces nothing but slavery. So then Bully Esquire on X at Bully ESQ says, cities have industrial zones. Data centers should go there next to factories. The idea that Facebook is building a data center in the middle of a wooded streamland behind a bunch of houses is retarded. Anti-data center people are retarded. Spiritually, you, it's disgusting. But they are doing that. It is retarded, but they are doing it. They are building data centers in the middle of wooded streamland. They are building it behind a bunch of houses. It is retarded. I agree. So they should go in burnt out city centers. They should actually fill it. Like, do you understand that in 2020, they sent everybody home and half the people never went back to the office? So there is a crisis right now of real estate in downtown centers because big corporations are not renewing their leases and giant office buildings are sitting totally unused in the middle of cities, fully connected to power already. Why are they not being used for these data centers? Why are they deliberately building gigantic, many hundred acre creations in the middle of farmland outside of small towns or 20 feet from suburbs? It is retarded. I agree. Not the fear of that happening, the fact it is happening. Again, the question of why it's happening should not be a question for InfoWarriors. You should have known this forever because you've been studying Klaus Schwab, you've been studying the World Economic Forum, and you understand how scarcity is an extremely useful weapon when you're trying to control humanity. Do you remember this woman from the World Economic Forum talking about ways to control you? Let's watch.
That's also, of course, true with COVID, right? We are all only as healthy as our neighbor is on our street and our city and our region and our nation and globally Did we solve that? Like, did we actually manage to vaccinate everyone in the world? No. So highlighting water as a global commons and what it means to work together and see it both out of that kind of global commons perspective, but also the self-interest perspective, because it does have that parallel. It's not only important, but it's also important because we haven't managed to solve those problems, which had similar attributes. And water is something that people understand. You know, climate change is a bit abstract. Some people understand it really well. Some understand it a bit. Some just don't understand it. Water. Every kid knows how important it is to have water. When you're playing football and you're thirsty, you need water. So there's also something about really getting citizen engagement around this and really, in some ways, experimenting with this notion of the common good. Can we actually deliver this time in ways that we have failed miserably other times? And hopefully we won't keep failing on the other things, but anyway.
So, see, they failed to get every single person in the world to take the vaccine. The translation there is she's saying, we failed to get total control last time. Here are some other methods we can use. The vaccine, it was a little vague. People were able to sort of go, well, I'll be fine without it. You can't be fine without water. So that's the World Economic Forum telling you in no uncertain terms and kind of, you know, blatantly that they intend to use scarcity of the elements we need for survival in order to control us. They're going to use water and the scarcity of fresh drinking water as a method of coercion because they desperately want control. And it's almost funny in that clip because the hyperscale data centers hadn't been a thing yet. She's like, people don't really understand climate change. Well, I'm a little confused. I thought I understood climate change. I thought it was going to destroy the world. I thought it was the most important thing ever. I thought it superseded any concerns about the economy or industry or anything else. It was a imperative. It had to be done. And questions about it were misinformation that should have been shut down by force. But now they have data centers. And so suddenly that doesn't matter and none of it matters. And they're making every excuse in the book for why, well, the energy's a lot, but the aluminum smelters make a lot too. And sure, we're creating as much pollution as 100, you know, whatever, gasoline engine generator sites. But, you know, it's necessary because we said so, and you're a Luddite if you disagree. And it just happens to be a coincidence that these hyperscale data centers that they're building out by the tune of 3,000 or 4,000 simultaneously all happen to draw massively on the potable drinking water, underwater reservoirs, aquifers, rivers, and lakes that we supply our drinking water from. What a strange coincidence that is, huh? Yeah. What a strange synchronicity of, you know, what the World Economic Forum wants and what's happening in real life. Isn't that crazy how that happens? Isn't that nuts? Isn't that inexplicable? This is what I mean. It's like you got people writing these articles, you know, the water issue about AI, it's fake. It's totally overblown. I mean, yes, they are using that much water. And yes, they are getting it from the local utilities. And yes, sometimes they just hook up lines to the local utilities without telling the local utility. So they're stealing millions upon millions of gallons of water. And that is going to cause a water shortage and a drop in pressure. And probably if it continues like this, a point to which water will become a scarce and valuable commodity that the World Economic Forum has already laid claim to and has already folded into their commodification of the natural world. So they'll be able to charge you for it. And again, if you're an InfoWars viewer, none of this is new. None of this should be a surprise. It is a little bit frustrating that we're having to relearn this lesson, having to reteach this lesson again when we already went through all of this with COVID. It doesn't matter if the experts and the scientists in charge tell you that this is absolutely a positively good thing. They're lying to you because they're a part of it, because they are part and parcel, hand in glove with the globalist plan to eradicate humanity's ability to survive without them. Okay? Do we understand? No, we don't? Well, good, because I've got a lot more videos to show you on the other side of them saying it in even more explicit and undeniable ways. So stay tuned. We'll show you a series, a cacophony, a choir of satanic globalists telling you why they're building data centers, telling you why they're eradicating the natural world. You can listen to them if you want, or you can ignore them to your own peril.
Just heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is so you literally have. So remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones. And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something, I think it's great, and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
This country is
five.
By those who move
four. Ignition sequence start.
You are the best chess player in the world, without a doubt, aren't you?
Five.
The best ever. I'm the most brutal and ferocious and most ruthless champion that ever been. There's no one to stop me. Let's go. I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever.
Chicago is
America. That's American sport. This country is the United States. It's not built by those who
we are America. Second to none. And we own the finish line.
Incredible stuff from Red 5. Be excellent. Follow him on X, Red 5. You know, the X algorithm has been manipulated a little bit. The payout system has been changed a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how it's been changed. I haven't looked into it much. I do know I'm making half as much as I used to off X, which is fine. Which is fine. That's not why I do it anyway. But I've noticed that, you know, the last video we played last week, the I Can't Even Productions, I mean, everything he'd ever come out with got millions, millions of views, hundreds of thousands of likes. His latest one, just as good as all those others, if not better, barely cracks like 1,000 likes. Red 5, that video you just saw, incredible. Incredible. That took a lot of work. That was really good editing. And yet, it's not doing very well on X. I think they've deliberately altered the algorithm to crack down on that type of content. In other words, not just like people sitting in front of the camera and talking, but if you actually are putting the effort in to make compilations, change people's minds, they're going to crack down on you and you're not going to do very well. We have to overcome that. We have to resist that. Do not depend on the algorithm to spoon feed you things. Some things you have to go out and find. Some accounts you got to bookmark and revisit to share their stuff and circumvent the algorithm, try to overwhelm the algorithm, because clearly they are not fans of creative white boys with good editing skills. They don't like that. They want to crush that as effectively as they can. It's like they want to crush us as effectively as they can, but thank goodness we haven't let them. And by we, of course, I don't mean us here at the Alex Jones Network, but everybody listening to my voice right now, anybody that's ever gone to thealexjonesstore.com, you have helped us to survive not only algorithmic suppression and total universal censorship and the fraudulent lawsuits and the attempts to scam us out of our rights by dishonest actors from The Onion and Bloomberg and elsewhere. We have survived it all thanks to you going to thealexjonesstore.com. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Today is the last day to take advantage of the incredible buy one, get one sale. It's your last day to get Shilajit gummies absolutely free. When you purchase a bottle of Shilajit gummies, you get a second one free. Same with creatine powder. Ultimate creatine powder is buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Shilajit gummies are built to support natural energy, stamina, vitality, and your daily drive, while Ultimate Creatine is built to support muscle strength, muscle performance, power output, endurance, and recovery. But really, it does wonderful things for your brain, your mind, the real muscle that you need to work out. And of course, we have the product bundles as well. I encourage you to go check those out. But if you want to get the buy one, get one BOGO sups, buy one, get one free supplements, you got to go today to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, we return to the Bond villain cabal. Let's go to clip number 9 now. This is from Right Angle News. This is a clip from February of this year. It is, once again, resurfacing of a video from the World Economic Forum where they lay out their intention to commodify all natural everything. Everything. I don't even know how to put it. They want to commodify everything. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the dirt under your feet. They want to assign it a dollar value and put it into some sort of bizarre AI stock market to manage the entire world, like the entire world is a piece of software that can be manipulated at will by the programmers, the world controllers, the ones who are putting all of this control structure into place. Let's go to clip number 9 now. A CEO, Lindsay Hooper, at the World Economic Forum, describing why nothing should be free. We should have to get all of it from them. Let's watch.
When we talk about capital, we tend to think only about financial capital, about cash, financial assets, but we know that's not the only value on which our economies depend. We know that every aspect of every part of the economy is fundamentally dependent on nature, as you highlighted. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, the soil, the oceans that we need for the food that we need to consume, the minerals that we need as inputs to technology and to infrastructure. And without these forms of value, these forms of natural capital, we won't have economies. They are the fundamental building blocks of our economies. But the ways, as you said, the ways in which we have grown our economies, our models of economic development, have been incredibly successful for global prosperity. But the unintended consequences of the current models of growth are simply not sustainable on a finite planet. the amount of resource that we are drawing in to our economies, Earth's resources, and the amount of pollution and waste that we're pumping out, whether that's through greenhouse gas emissions, whether that's sewage into our water, whether it's plastics into the ocean, is beyond the Earth's carrying capacity. And we know that that's leading, as you said, to very significant direct impacts for society, but very significant financial costs for the economy. You can look at that as you have and calculate that at a macro level. But the way that that's showing up as we're breaching these boundaries and breaching these limits and undermining nature is showing up in very practical ways that are showing up for financial risk for institutions. Lack of water is leading to disruption of operations, of supply chains where water is needed as an essential input for manufacturing or power production. The degradation of soil is leading to reduced agricultural yields. The decline of pollinator species is also having an impact on agriculture. So that's leading to direct financial risks for organizations, for businesses, and ultimately for investors. And as you said, ultimately the reason for this is at the moment the way that decisions are made on an everyday level within businesses and financial institutions is because we're looking only at financial data, financial metrics that are not factoring in nature. Nature is treated within the economy as though it's unlimited and predominantly as though it's free. And the risks and harms are simply not costed in financial terms. They, we can cost them at a macro level. They're not costed into day-to-day decision-making. And the result is, as a consequence, we've put all of our economies at fundamental risk. We can't do business on a dead planet. If we're going to protect natural systems, one of the solutions is to bring nature onto the balance sheet, to bring nature into the ways that decisions are made within business, to allocate a value to it and to bring it into accounting and financial mechanisms.
Allocate a value to it. You know, air and water. That's what she's saying, the stuff you need to survive, the stuff that is, in fact, free. It's actually given to us by God, actually. But these people thought that was a bad idea. They thought God was an idiot for giving us that for free when they know they can make a chunk of chains by manipulating it. So that's what they intend to do. And once again, you see the way that these fundamental necessary resources for the continuing existence of life on Earth are being commodified. And the irony of the fact that it's all being done on the basis of climate change, which has to do with the theory, the unproven but, you know, thoroughly subscribed to theory that carbon production heats the Earth and that's going to cause the whole world to die, which would, of course, mean that these data centers would be the worst possible thing to do. But see, they need to build the data centers and in doing so destroy the nature, but you need the data centers in order to commodify and log the existence of all the nature, which will actually be easier once you destroy a big chunk of it. So, but no, it's about, you know, sharing memes on X, right? That's why we need 3,000 new centers, and the fact that they use, you know, fresh water and that it's being done without people's awareness and that it requires immense expenditure of fuel and energy production. That's all coincidence. It's all coincidence that it happens to both contradict the climate change reason that these things are being implemented while simultaneously giving the control that the World Economic Forum wants on the basis of climate change. You have to be an idiot not to see how they're manipulating you in a billion, million, trillion different ways. It has to be costed in the day-to-day. We have to protect these natural solutions. We have to protect nature by destroying it. It's just insane. Let's go to clip let's go to clip 17 here. This is World Economic Forum agenda contributor Joyita Gupta, who once again says because of this that darn climate change, that climate change that we care so much about and is actually real. Ooh, that climate change. It's the climate change's fault that water is going away. Let's listen.
There's so much water, and yet a lot of this water is unusable. And increasingly, this water cycle on which we have been relying on for so long is becoming unpredictable. And we do not know when and where we can get access to this water, for how long, and whether there will be too much water as a consequence of, for example, climate change. Most of our climate change impacts are felt through water. So the question for all of us is, how do we try to manage water? And the key topic that we will all be working on today is, are there levers that we can use to unlock and unleash the power of water to perhaps achieve the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals?
Sustainable Development Goals. So again, I just, you know, just want to reemphasize that it's not a coincidence that the creation of these data centers, sponsored by the very people that run the World Economic Forum. Remember, Larry Fink of BlackRock is the head of the World Economic Forum at this point. And that these very people who are laying out to you their intention to commodify all of nature and to utilize shortages and lack of access as an excuse to impose control systems and rationing, they're the ones building the data centers that are fulfilling what they're saying climate change is actually doing. But the, you know, you get it. I would hope that you get it by now. But in case you don't, there's more. This is World Economic Forum Chairman Peter Brabeck Letmath saying that water is not a human right. Okay, that's the first thing you need to understand. This is clip number 15. Here's World Economic Forum Chairman Peter Brabeck Letmath.
Everyone should have enough clean, safe water to meet their fundamental daily needs. About 50 to 100 liters per day. But not to fill a pool or wash a car. There is a difference. We must transform the way we think about water. Water scarcity is the greatest challenge we face today. And we need to start recognizing water as a precious resource. Therefore, water should be better managed, should be better valued, and has to be better preserved. If we give water value, there will be an incentive to invest in looking after our supply.
So again, I mean, you can think this is all a coincidence if you want. You can think the very people putting these things into place are doing it by accident. But I'm not going to fall for it. But I, for one, saw what they did with COVID. I saw how they weaponized fear and created economic strife that they took advantage of to further enrich themselves and enslave humanity. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that this is all on purpose, just better safe than sorry. I'm going to go ahead and assume that they know exactly what they're doing and it's all on purpose because it just so very obviously is. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 24 here because once again, we see the full-fledged and outright full frontal attack on nature itself. And once again, I don't think it's a coincidence that in the same year that you have these crop failures that we're hearing about, that you have the Iran war and the fertilizer shortages, you suddenly and inexplicably have an unbelievable and statistically relevant rise in tick populations. I think it's on purpose. I think it's by design. I think it's all part and parcel to the wider globalist plan. All of these are merely facets or prerequisites to get to their eventual goal of absolute total domination of the natural world, you included. Let's go to clip 24. Here's an Illinois man just noticing on his own volition how many ticks there are this year. Let's watch.
Bro, enough is enough, man. There are ticks everywhere. I don't remember ever seeing as many ticks. Like, I literally cannot bring my dog. I'm genuinely mad right now. Like, I think it's just fear. I think it's like genuinely just fear, but like, I cannot come outside. I can't come outside here. I live in northwestern Illinois. This is, yes, I know it's tick season, but like, I just don't ever remember in 41 years ticks being this prominent. I've never just, hey, come here. Hey, nope, come here. I can't even let my dog go down by the river. Come here. I've already picked off two ticks off her this morning. Sit. And every morning we come out here, ticks, ticks, ticks. I went inside after our walk the other day. I had one crawling on my leg. I had to get out. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying that. But, like, why are there so many ticks in Illinois this year. Freaking me out, man. I mean, they're huge. They're just like, and it's, they're like flies. I've never seen anything like this. Come on, man. We got to get out of here, bro. What is going on in this world?
What is going on in this world? What do I always say? What is the first step to becoming a conspiracy theorist? To understand that things don't just happen. This doesn't just happen. You don't just, all of a sudden, there's ticks everywhere where they never were before, and they all are giving you alpha-gal syndrome and making you illegal to eat meat in, once again, exact step-by-step coordination with the desires of the World Economic Forum. Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's coincidence that the World Economic Forum demands you stop eating meat, and all of a sudden there are ticks everywhere that if they bite you, you can no longer eat red meat. That the people at the World Economic Forum saying, hey, maybe this is something we should do in order to compel people to stop eating meat, and then it suddenly happens, that's clearly a coincidence. And the fact that they want to use water as a coercion tool, its limited existence and necessity for human life being a very useful lever they can pull to control humanity, and then they happen to be building these giant data centers that suck up all the water for thousands of miles around. That's another total coincidence, folks. And you're a conspiracy theorist for thinking otherwise. So you should think otherwise. You should understand that these things don't just happen. They certainly don't just happen in coordination. They don't just happen at exactly the same time all over the world in various forms and by various means. That only happens if it's orchestrated, if there's a design behind it. And you can watch the World Economic Forum to hear them explain exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. Okay? You don't have to believe me. But you should if you want to live. But you should if you want to live, because, yeah, I don't know. We were right about COVID, weren't we? And weren't we getting exactly the same type of pushback back then? Weren't we getting exactly the same type of arguments? Weren't we getting exactly the same type of dismissals? You're just an idiot. You just don't understand. You're not an expert. These are the experts. They've assured us. You're saying they're lying. You're saying there's some sort of ulterior motive. I don't know why we have to go through this over and over. I don't know why we have to reintroduce these ideas that everybody accepts and then forgets about in a few years. But we'll do it. We'll keep on keeping on. We'll keep exposing this stuff regardless of how they feel about it. Now I got a video that is a little bit longer. I don't know whether to go to it or just talk about it. We can go to a few minutes of it, I suppose. It's, I actually found it on alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com is, of course, the new home of the InfoWar. The story at alexjoneslive.com. YouTuber explains how a bad economy helps enable an authoritarian Big Brother takeover. He's a YouTuber who's a right to repair advocate, and YouTube tech commentator Lewis Rossman recently responded to a series of messages he's received inquiring about why he's not commented on the recent move to enable AI surveillance kill switches in all vehicles beginning in 2027. The problem was that Rossman had been a prominent public voice against this very thing for years, making a sample letter that his viewers could send to their representatives asking them to veto car kill switch regulations. Yet because he didn't post a video the day the issue began to go viral, he was accused of avoiding it, something we're pretty familiar with here. But he makes a good point that really the problem is the economy. The economy makes authoritarianism easy. Now, the real, convenient and like obvious and sort of ultimate control through poverty is the people literally become dependent on the government and do not want anything to happen to the government because it's their daddy. That's sort of the obvious connection that can be made. But I, again, want to just play this out. Just let this, chain of events come to its logical conclusion. Now they're talking about opening up American market to Chinese electric vehicles. And they'll be super cheap and probably pretty nice. It won't be good for the American economy. Maybe we can build them here. We probably won't. Regardless, we already have a aging and insufficient electrical grid. We're building these data centers, which themselves draw as much power as entire cities and will overload the grid on top of everything else. Then you want to talk about having every single car in America being powered by electricity and not gasoline. You're talking about an impossible situation. We do not have the ability to produce that much energy, and we probably never will. Without building a ton of nuclear reactors, without blanketing entire states in solar panels or whatever else we're doing, it simply is a matter of math and resources. It is impossible to power every car on the road in America through centralized energy production at a power plant. It's just not possible. So instead, you will not own a car. You will have to ask for permission to ride a shared car that will be like an Uber for everybody, and that will be dependent on your social credit score. I know you've probably heard me say this a bunch if you're a viewer, but you have to understand how all of this ties in together and how it is, in no small part, a consequence of the economic situation that forces people into this vulnerable state in which they can be controlled or taken advantage of or made dependent and therefore controlled and taken advantage of. Rossman explained how people are worried if they'll get replaced with a machine, AI, or if they'll be able to feed themselves or be able to get married or to see a return to regular relationships. He says, I understand how your car potentially having a kill switch inside of it that stops it from working if it detects alcohol in the air might not be your biggest concern right now, he said. The premise of a Big Brother surveillance grid being established under the cover of economic hardship may not be universal alarming to the impoverished masses, but that appears to be by design. He says, quote, if it's that hard for me, then what do you think it must be like for normal everyday people who don't have the benefit of having 18 to 20 years of business experience? A lot of the people watching this channel are genuinely effed, and those people don't necessarily have the wherewithal or state of mind, what my personal trainer would refer to as the Maslow's hierarchy of need, when it comes to caring about something like my car turning itself off because it may sense that there's alcohol somewhere in 2027. I understand how in 2021, 2022, 23, 24, that's just not something on the forefront of most people's minds. In other words, you have people in a state of desperation, in a state of mere survival or fear, and they will not have the wherewithal, the bandwidth, the mental capacity to care about things they should care about because they're so hyper-focused on the immediate necessities that they require to survive. In early 2022, Rossman again argued the authoritarian automobiles of the future, discussed the authoritarian automobiles of the future and why consumers should reject purchasing them. While Rossman was busy sounding the alarm about the issue, the public was more concerned with the Canadian trucker convoy, the start of the Ukraine war, and Biden inflation sweeping the nation. More recently, discussed Representative Massey's push to remove the automobile kill switch regulation in a video he uploaded in February. So again, millennials trying to buy homes in today's economy are up against a rock and a hard place. Unlike their boomer parents, the dream of buying a home continues to feel further away. According to National Association of Realtors, millennials continue to be forced out of home ownership. The organization reported that in 2025, the average age of the first-time home buyer rose to 40 years old, up from 38 of the last year. And this is another one of those things. People, again, with the data center, they're using the same arguments about like BlackRock buying up homes. It's not about, oh, BlackRock is using a monopoly to get a bit of a financial advantage. It's about the fact that all of these corporations are organized and orchestrating a total change in human nature to where you will not own anything ever, and yet you'll be happy because they'll force you to be. It's the World Economic Forum's game plan.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I'm going to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked-out, murdered-out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited-edition laser-engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel any time. There's no commitment. Just in your profile, you pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Hope you're having a lovely day. Today is just a rant because I've received many emails from people asking if I would go over the fact that there are car kill switches that are being put in. They want me to read about these car kill switches, and a lot of the emails that I'm receiving are asking why this is an issue that I have not covered. So let's go back through my channel a little bit. Should a car try to detect if you're drunk and disable the vehicle? November 2021. Car remote kill switch, another reason not to buy cars of the future. January 15th, 2022. I spent 20 minutes walking you through this thing from Congress, which apparently requires verification that I'm not a robot to read the laws of my own country. And I put timestamps here to make it as easy to understand as possible. A few months ago, I went over a politician that voted against this garbage that was voted against in full. And he's also now being primaried in his own district for the crime of not being Epstein class first, and I guess not being sufficiently Israel first as well, Thomas Massie. And in addition to this, on this channel for a long time, I have gone over the fact that car manufacturers will pay people to say that if you have the ability to get access to the data in your car to be able to fix your car, that this hands the keys to China, North Korea, and Iran. I've also gone over many of Ford's patents back when my white balance was a little bit more on the reddish side about them patenting the ability to lip read and emotion detect inside your car. We've also gone over on the channel the fact that a judge has ruled that it's legal for your car to retain all of your text messages and not provide you with a way to delete them even if you want to sell the vehicle to somebody else. So your entire call history and all your text messages get stored in your car, and it is not a privacy violation that after spending $40,000 to $60,000 in the vehicle, that you can't delete them. And I've also gone over a lot of the nonsense that happened at National Highway Transit and Safety Administration when Right to Repair was passed in Massachusetts. And after several years of the judge asking for their input, NHTSA ignored them. And then once the judge finally said, okay, Right to Repair is allowed to go through, the judge sent out a notice to every major automaker saying, don't comply with it. I've been going over this in this channel for quite a long time. And the issue, what I find, is not that I don't go over the issue. It's that unfortunately nobody cares. And of the very few people that care, a even smaller number actually participate. It's something I noticed even in the video that I did yesterday. I explicitly said, here's the exact letter that you should write to your representative so you don't have to think of it. And then somebody said, I want to talk about this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say to my representative. And it's like, and I don't want to victim blame. And I understand this sounds like victim blaming, but I literally dictated it in the video. I don't know what else there is to do at this point. I've really tried throughout the 14 years that I've had this YouTube channel to try and make people aware of the things that have been going on and also tell you what it is that you can do. What are the actionable things that you can do to push back against it? And what I find is that I am a member of about 1% of people who care about these issues. And of the 1% who care about these issues, there are about another 1% of them that will then go and take action. And I understand to some extent why this is the case. You know, I was reading an article in Bloomberg the other day. I forget if it was talking about Canada or the United States, but it was talking about how there used to be 8% of millennials live with their parents, and now it was 16% of millennials are living with their parents. And I remember many years ago, every now and then I do this thing just to remind myself why I need to keep my business in a job. And I remember reaching out to a resume coach, and I spent $500 or $1,000 to have the perfect resume crafted for about 500 different jobs that I had applied for across all different industries, like repair technician manager, marketer, search engine person, nonprofit stuff. I remember putting on here, like, raise millions of dollars for this nonprofit. Got to number one on Google for all these different search keywords in a very densely populated field. Managed repair company that did thousands and thousands of repairs with the best rating. And well, I applied for a number of things all across the spectrum. And over about 500 jobs, I heard back from one of them that was a rejection notice based on me not having a college degree. And a week later, I wound up getting a call from them, which I thought was funny. This was a nonprofit that I think had been collecting like $35,000 a year max. And I had put on mine, you know, like raised millions of this particular nonprofit and everything else. And I said, oh, I thought I was auto rejected. It's like, oh, that was the HR, must have been the auto emailer or a bot or something. And I'm like, well, who sets up the bot? Is it your company? He's like, well, yes, bot. And I'm like, well, I don't work for bigots. And I hung up. Point here is I realize if it's that hard for me, then what must it be like for normal everyday people that don't have the benefit of having 18 or 20 years of business experience, who don't have fame and celebrity and everything else? A lot of the people.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X. Or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at AlexJonesApp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at TheAlexJonesStore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, canceling time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at RealAlexJones.com and TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of War Room Live is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL, the headquarters, the homepage of Liberty and Americana. AlexJonesLive.com. Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. I want to just cover some breaking news and some sort of independent news stories. Apparently, there have been two earthquakes in Tehran reported about an hour ago. And most people I see online commenting on this have a different interpretation than I do. A lot of people are saying sounds like a nuclear test. Sounds like Tehran just did back-to-back nuclear tests, and that would be very convenient, I think, for the powers that be to convince people that there are nuclear tests happening under Tehran. My first instinct was, oh, this was a show of force against China before Trump arrived. This was an unveiling of one of the many weapon systems that Trump has hinted at in the recent past. So is that true? I don't know. All we know is that there have been two earthquakes, one a 4.6 earthquake and another one around the same size under Tehran, you know, in Tehran in the last few hours. And I, you know, it's like Trump has made these statements before where he's like, the weapon systems, you have no idea what the weapon systems we're capable of unleashing. We barely even scratched the surface. Almost like a skit or something where it's like, yeah, you mean the earthquake gun? He's like, well, maybe, but no, there's like the rods of from God, the non-nuclear satellite mounted titanium rods that have the effect of a nuclear weapon, but don't have the fallout. The neutrino bomb? Like, well, which one are you talking about? Like, it's just funny to me when they're like, you have no idea what weapon systems we're capable of. And it's just like, oh, really? We're not, we're not aware of these things. We haven't been talking about them for years. It's not that big of a surprise. So I don't think it's, you know, again, maybe all of this is coincidence. Maybe everything in the world is always a coincidence and there's no rhyme and reason to anything. Or maybe, just maybe, Donald Trump is going to China and wants to tell China, we just made the earthquake in Tehran. Now do you want to negotiate? So, I don't know. Could be either one of those. Now, yesterday, when talking about illegal immigration, the migrant crisis, particularly places like Ireland and Japan, I made a very simple call to violence. I made a very simple statement, undeniably true, that they're not listening, that the government doesn't care, that it's going to impose this stuff on you whether you like it or not, and they're going to use violence to impose this stuff. Therefore, you have a natural right from God to defend yourself with appropriate violence. It's just the way the world works, okay? Just because, you know, somebody's hitting you in the face, like you could hit them in the face. That's just how it works. So if they want to send cops with billy clubs to bash in the face of the Dutch people that live there so they can import, you know, tons of people, I think they can expect violence in return. So what we're seeing here is exactly what I was talking about. Not violence against the migrants or even against the police, but rather the destruction of the asylum center. Dutch protesters have just set fire to a new asylum center in Loosdrecht and are blocking firefighters from reaching the area. Well, good. Well, good. And hey, the good news is there were no migrants in there, so it's not even really a migrant center. It's not even really an asylum center. This is what you might call a migration abortion. Okay, it's just a clump of buildings right now, so don't worry about it. It's not a hate crime. It's not even really a crime. It's just sort of a, what do they call it? Women's health care. This was like a architectural care. They gave extra hot architectural care to that building. And I think as long as you define it that way, then your violence doesn't really matter. So there you go. There you go. I think that's what's necessary. I think it's what you need to do. I think now, at least for the moment, they'll have to try to come up with a different place to put these people or a different thing to do. And my suggestion would be whatever new asylum center they establish, burn that one down too. I think you should burn all of them. I do. I really do. I think that's actually the least violent thing you could respond, you know, the least violent way you could respond. And I think it's not just justified, kind of necessary, an obligation. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Europe, we'll cover some Europe news here. Keir Starmer is in free fall with nearly 80 Labour MPs demanding that he quits. He's cruising along regardless. Sir Keir Starmer is fighting for his political life ahead of a showdown cabinet meeting today. At least three top ministers are understood to have joined the growing mutiny, which has seen dozens of MPs turn on him after Labour lost nearly 1,500 seats at the local elections last week. Now, I want to go to clip number three here. This is from LBC in Britain. It's a little compilation and a reminder of the political chaos that has rocked Britain over the last decade or so. Let's watch.
British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected.
We have the strong and stable leadership we need to see us through Brexit and beyond.
The doubters, the doomsters, the gloomsters, they are going to get it wrong again.
I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Earlier today, I spoke with His Majesty the King to request the dissolution of Parliament.
Restore service and respect to politics. End the era of noisy performance. Tread more lightly on your lives.
How are we doing this again? Why is this country descending into a madness, an amateur decade of political instability? What has happened to mean that Westminster has gravitated to the anarchic? What is the unifying theory of political mayhem? How are we about to embark on potentially the seventh prime minister in a decade? Why are we in this period of what seems to be unstoppable, unbreakable political mayhem? What's happened?
I think I have an answer. I think I can actually explain it. You're ruled by people who despise you. That's why your politics in the UK is in mayhem, because the people in power despise the citizenry, don't care what they have to say, and are constantly and almost exclusively doing things to hurt and damage the well-being of the native British. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit conflicting when you're supposedly a democracy, when you supposedly have electoral politics that dictate who's in charge in your country. And yet, everything that the people want gets ignored, and everything that the establishment demands gets implemented. You're going to have some problems there. You're going to have some crises or some issues arise because your government's not fit for purpose, because you're engaged in a constant struggle to impose things on an unwilling populace and then punish that populace for disagreeing or showing outrage. So you did Brexit. That was a little chaotic, but it did win in the end, and then it never actually happened. So what you have is over half the country who participated in the plebiscite not getting what they want, desperately looking for anybody that will at least pretend or try or put across the image that they're in, you know, making the attempt to serve the British people. But they won't let you. But that's against the designs of the establishment and the powers that be. So they have to constantly hoodwink you and trick you and betray you and sell you out. So you're obviously going to have political instability in that case. See, if instead you had a government that represented the will of the people, was in line with and, you know, in accordance with the will of the people, then it would go incredibly smoothly. If they cared about the just physical well-being of the people and acted on their own volition with or without the approval of the people to improve the lives of the people, then you likewise wouldn't have all the chaos and misery and anger and the marches and the protests and the, you know, violence. None of that would exist because your government wouldn't be actively destroying your nation. So I think that explains, I think that's why, and I think that explains it. And to me, the inexplicable thing is that they have a king. They have a royal family. They have a living embodiment of the British people in a monarch and a head of state. And you would expect at least that person to not sell out their people, the people of, for whom they are an avatar. But they've completely betrayed the British people and seem to hate the British people for not being willing to allow themselves to be utterly and completely destroyed. So I think Jeremy Clarkson should seize the crown. I think the solution in the UK is to get a bunch of young men to gather around Jeremy Clarkson and then just lay siege to Buckingham Palace and literally take the crown unto yourself. Because clearly the king has abdicated any legitimate authority as the king, since under his kingship, he's watching as his own people are being viciously eradicated in their own nations. So I say take him out. I say this is amazing. It's like, as much as I dislike the very concept, I'm too American to ever co-sign the idea of royalty or royal blood, but I do understand the convenience in that you just have one guy that's in charge, and if that guy doesn't do a good job, you just get rid of that one guy and put another guy in charge, and then he's the one in charge. It's like actually really convenient and kind of easy problem to fix. Because as much as they want to pretend that the king and the royal family has no power, they have not given up any power. It's one of the great illusions of the modern world, is that everybody treats the royal family like a tourist trap, but they've never done anything to tangibly lower their power ever. Like, not since, like, the 1600s. Not since, like, you know, Oliver Cromwell. It's not like the late queen, you know, gave up her powers. She just sort of receded into the background, retaining all of the authority she ever had. And UK's kind of a weird place where you'll read an article and it will be about the back and forth, this and that, and liberals want this, and these people want this, and Parliament's arguing about this, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, and then the last line will be like, and then the Queen decided this, and that's what happened. And it's like, then what was all this arguing about? Why did I have to read a whole article about Parliament bickering when at the end of the day, it's just Her Majesty the Queen deigning to decide what the answer is? It's kind of weird, but you should use that. You should use that power that they still retain and seize the crown like Game of Thrones. This is a Game of Thrones opportunity here. I think Jeremy Clarkson's man for the job. I think you go Jeremy Clark. You have a Knights of the Round Table. You can be like Jeremy Clarkson and it's not Eric Idle. Who's the other guy from Monty Python? John Cleese. John Cleese is always making statements on X, just being like, I don't think this benefits the American people. It's like, it doesn't. You should seize the crown. No, this doesn't benefit the British people. You should seize the crown. Take power for yourself. We'd all love it. So it'd be like him and Jeremy Clarkson. You could have the leader of Restore in there. I think it's time. I think it's time for a crusade. And I think it's time for the rightful king of England to take his place from these usurpers and frauds. This Transylvanian German family masquerading as royal British need to be usurped themselves, and power needs to lie on the head of Jeremy Clarkson. That's my endorsement. Meanwhile, migrant crisis, more than half a million immigrants massing in North Africa ready to cross into Europe. More than half a million illegal migrants have massed in North Africa and are ready to flood into Europe, the Greek government has said. The minister declared there's no reason for Greece to open its borders and accept people, adding that the country will operate within the legal framework, but will also reach its limits in order to protect the border. Since 2015, Greece has been a major gateway for over 1.2 million illegal immigrants flooding into Europe, with many going on to make their way into Britain. Greece's prime minister, Mitsotakis, has implemented a host of policies in recent years aimed at tackling the country's migrant crisis. Greek authorities believe 550,000 migrants are in Libya awaiting the opportunity to break into Europe. Gosh, if only there was a way to stop them. Gosh, if only there was something that could be done to stop these rubber dinghies from flopping their way onto Greek beaches. There's just... Nope, can't think of anything. Can't think of anything you could possibly do to stop half a million violent rapist men from Africa to getting into Europe. It's, you know, you can ask them nicely to not do it, but I don't think they're going to listen, guys. Shoot them? What? Shoot who? Oh, right, the migrants. Oh, that makes sense. Why don't you shoot them? Here's an idea. When they try to invade your country, protect your country. I don't know why. How have we not thought of this before? Somebody get me Europe on the line. I think I have a solution to their migrant problem. It's called don't let them in. Destroy their boats. Fire at them. Leave them at sea. Tell them to go home and reinforce the message with a gun. Yeah, you know, these types of creative solutions that you can come to expect here at the Alex Jones Network. I mean, I'm sorry. Is there a different? What else should you do? The options are either let them in or let them in. Like, no, they're let them in or send them home with prejudice and violence. Treat them like Israel treats them. That's exactly what should be done. Treat them not like Israel treats them in Greece. You understand? See, Israel has government programs where they actually send Israelis into places like Greece to stand on the beach and to welcome the migrants into Greece. They literally do that. You can find video of it. They advertise it. They think it's a good thing. So I'm not saying, you know, act like Israelis act in Greece, because they're there deliberately and exclusively to open up the borders to the migrants and then act like it's a humanitarian act they're doing. No, you want to treat the migrants like Israel treats migrants in its own land. Okay. Careful. Very important distinction. Okay. We do want to treat the migrants like the Israelis treat migrants, only we want to treat migrants like the Israelis treat migrants in their own land, not like Israelis treat migrants in our land or in Greece. It's a whole different set of rules they have for each one of these things. Meanwhile, Sweden to strap tracking devices on children as young as 13. Sweden's government has announced plans to fit children with electronic tagging bracelets, the latest expansion of a surveillance apparatus the country's been building around its youngest residents for the past year. Oh, isn't that nice? So now the Swedish will be tagged like cattle. I think you should pierce their ear and put a tag through that way. You know, like cattle, like you do with a cow. I think you should heat up a piece of metal. I think you should have a metal brand in the shape of the Star of David, and you should brand them all so they know who's really in charge. Sorry, I'm talking about Sweden here. Social services would decide which children age 13 or older get tagged based on the government's determination that they are, quote, at risk of recruitment by criminal gangs. Oh, so they're just tagging the Somalis. That's not going to go well. I don't think that's going to go very well, actually. I think you're going to find that if you judge kids on the likelihood that they enter gangs in Sweden, you're going to find a major overrepresentation of the immigrant population into Sweden, meaning that this is going to be told as Sweden tags its migrants like cattle to track them. And only when it's done to non-white people will people be able to recognize the insane dehumanizing practice this really is. The bracelets are part of a much wider pattern. Since October 2025, Swedish police have had the legal authority to wiretap the electronic communications of children under 15, including in cases where no specific crime is suspected. And see, that's smart. That's very smart, because you're going to want to get people used to being surveilled. You're going to want to impose a constant surveilling, you know, tracking electronic livestock tag as early as possible so they think it's normal, okay? It's harder to tag against their will somebody that's grown up not being cattle. You're going to want to train them to accept their role as cattle as early as 13. I say go earlier. I say, you know, basically, like, when you're in the hospital, they tend to, you know, put a tag on your baby to, you know, make sure it's yours, like it matches your bracelet. The kid will have an ankle bracelet on. I say just keep it on. I say you put the tag on when they're newborns at the hospital, and that way they just never know life without one. Okay? If you want to indoctrinate these people into subservience and accepting willingly their role as cattle slave, then you're going to want to get that down to the, you know, toddler level at the very least, I would think. The country is also lowering the age of criminal responsibility from 15 to 13 for serious offenses starting July 4th. The Swedish state can now listen to a child's phone calls, read their messages, and, if the proposal passes, track their physical location in real time. Of course, the other solution to this would be to deport all of the foreigners that are ruining Sweden, but that's not going to happen. Yeah, Sweden wants to pay refugees $37,000 each to go home. Is this a new one? Because every once in a while they come up with this idea, and I have to remind the Swedish, I have to remind the Northern Europeans that you are literally just setting up another chance for them to scam you. It's from December, right? Yeah, we covered this at the time. And just pointing out, it's like, you poor innocent rubes. You suckers, you absolute suckers. You know, you've got to be able to think like a criminal. You really do. If you want to stop criminals, you've got to be able to think like them. You've got to be able to understand the world through the scam artist eyes. And when the poor, innocent, lovely, naive people of Sweden offer $37,000 to migrants to go home, all the migrants hear is Sweden wants to pay you $37,000 to take a week vacation in Syria and then to come back under a different name and do it again next week. Swedish people have this idea that, like, they're going to be like, well, they paid me $37,000 to go home. I have to go home now. Like, that's not how it works. They're not like you. Michigan Democrats introduced bills to legalize assisted suicide. So, yeah, it's happening just like we said it would, just like it inevitably will. Because, you know, it's not like we have anything else to concern ourselves. It's not like the United States government has an overwhelming number of self-inflicted wounds to be dealing with right now. Let's talk about killing us. Let's talk about killing ourselves. Talk about dying with dignity, aka legalized murder. It's been rebranded as medical aid in dying for terminally ill adults in the state. The legislation would create a Death with Dignity Act and establish a regulated process allowing certain patients to request and receive life-ending medication from a doctor. So, let's not let them do this. Here's an idea. We are now in a position to interdict, intersect, and stop this before it ever goes into practice. Let's do that. Let's do that, shall we? The bill requires two oral requests at least 15 days apart, one written request witnessed by two people, one of whom cannot be a relative of someone who stands to benefit financially, and confirmation of the diagnosis and mental capacity by two physicians. That sounds like a lot of trouble. Look, if you want to kill yourself, here's an idea. Freaking kill yourself. We don't need doctors involved. Go jump off a bridge. Leave us the rest alone.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f***? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying. Not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Products at thealexjonesstore.com own and fund this network. They have to get the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue. Hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people, people power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You can cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room Live here on AlexJonesLive.com. We're going to talk about the wars, the various wars right now, as well as, you know, what their intended consequence is. The war in Iran, just continues to spiral. War Secretary Hegseth and Joint Chiefs of Staff General Kane testified before Congress today. We have a few clips from that we can go to. And we go ahead and do that. The Trump did dismiss Iran's truce plan today. And as the, I believe this is the Washington Post or New York Times reports, as Trump dismisses Iran's truce plan, world braces for lasting economic pain. Countries were bracing on Monday for prolonged economic woes stemming from high energy prices after President Trump called the latest Iranian offer to end the war and reopen the Strait of Hormuz garbage and declared that the ceasefire was on massive life support. Mr. Trump, speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, reiterated that Iran could not be allowed to develop a nuclear weapon and likened the truce announced last month to a patient with 1% chance of survival. Meanwhile, Australia doomsday scenario sees oil hits $200 on war escalation, saying a prolonged war would also raise the price of Australian exports of coal and LNG. Australia's government conducted scenario analysis on its annual budget under which the war in Iran intensifies, driving oil to $200 a barrel and throwing the global economy into chaos. Certainly a distinct possibility, one might say. India has 60 days of crude oil stock. The government still wants fuel conservation. Saudi Arabia, meanwhile, it's been revealed, launched covert attacks on Iran as the regional war widened, meaning that their objection to being targeted, saying, well, we're not actually a combatant, was a lie, since they didn't just let America or Israel launch attacks from their territory, but actually engaged in it themselves. We can go now to clip number two. This is Pete Hegseth being questioned by the Congress earlier today. Let's watch.
For Ukraine, so far, your department has not spent a dime of that $400 million, despite repeated follow-up requests from the chairman and myself. In a call just last week, your staff indicated we will see a spend plan for those funds this week. Will you commit to spending those $400 million for weapons for Ukraine, and when will we receive your department's spend plan?
I appreciate that question. The $400 million for European capacity building has been released from the Secretary's War's office, and we'll work with UCOM to make sure they spend it accordingly and properly, which we have all faith that they will.
Mr. Secretary, when will this subcommittee get the associated spend plan for the $400 million?
Yeah, I mean, we will work with your committee to make sure that the spend plan as allocated. I want to make sure UCOM is fully informed in how they want to spend this. They're the closest to the problem set. And so working with them to ensure that you have the spend plan will work with you.
Mr. Secretary, thank you. But it's May, and this has been the law since January. And you or your representatives have been asked this repeatedly on a bipartisan basis by members of this committee. And I think dragging our feet on this small investment in Ukraine's defense sends exactly the wrong signal to Putin at a time when the contest for freedom has its front lines in Ukraine.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, what are we going to do if Ukraine falls? I mean, then democracy is fake. It doesn't exist anymore. So this small investment, just a small little, just to get us over the top. Right. It's like a gambler or something, or a con artist. Look, I know you already gave me $20,000, but to make this investment come to fruition, I only need a little bit more. What, so Zelensky can steal another $100 million and flee to Israel like all of his associates have done? Completely ridiculous. Here's Lindsey Graham being a little bit annoyed at the lack of action in Iran when questioning Pete Hegseth earlier today. Let's watch.
Pakistan. Are you aware of reports that Pakistan are allowing their bases to be used to park Iranian aircraft, General King?
Sir, I've seen one report on that.
Well, is it accurate?
Sir, I think based on the variety of classification matters.
Well, let me just say, do you agree if it is accurate, that is sort of inconsistent with it being a peace mediator?
Sir, I wouldn't want to comment on that based on the ongoing negotiations in Pakistan's
Secretary,
role.
Secretary Hegseth, if the mediator is allowing reconnaissance aircraft of Iran to be parked in Pakistani air bases, do you think that's consistent with being a fair mediator?
I wouldn't want to get in the middle of these negotiations. Yeah. I want
get in the middle of these negotiations. I don't trust Pakistan as far as I can throw them. If they actually do have Iranian aircraft parked in Pakistan bases to protect Iranian military assets, that tells me we should be looking maybe for somebody else to mediate. No wonder this damn thing is going nowhere. So, you know, I appreciate all you've done. I'm very supportive of it. But when it comes to Pakistan and China, enough already. Thank you.
You know, someone needs to get Senator Graham an apple juice. He needs an apple juice. He gets this way when he's hungry. It's been a while since he was at Disney World. Maybe needs to go back, refresh a little. But he seemed a little angry there. He seemed a little on edge. Maybe because the long-awaited, the prize, his ultimate triumph, the war in Iran, it's not going as well as he's always imagined it would go. It's got to be disappointing. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. You try for year over year, decade over decade, desperately trying to start a war on behalf of Israel against Iran, and you finally get it, and it all goes tits up. I mean, this is devastating for poor old Lindsay. He expected it to go a whole lot better, and he sort of, you know, he took the point on this. He really, you know, shoved it down everybody's throat. So now that it's been a catastrophic failure that everybody recognized, even he cannot put a good spin on it and is getting a little bit pissed the way things are going. I'm glad they're not going well. And look, things aren't going well because, you know, because we are a giant military complex that is just replete with fraud, replete with malfeasance, who has spent the last several decades feeling like we could do whatever we want to whoever we want. We've put no actual effort or investment into changing our operations to comport with the modern battlefield. And so we're getting blown out of the water by much smaller, much less resourced, much, in many ways, less capable opponents and foes, because they at least have the ability, the size and the flexibility to change their tactics, to introduce new tactics, to be creative in the way that they wage wars. We have three different videos of Hezbollah footage of Hezbollah drones targeting the Iron Dome and Israeli military vehicles. The multi-billion dollar American taxpayer funded Israeli Iron Dome has now been rendered completely useless using $200 plastic drones armed with explosives. And by the way, pulling behind them fiber optic cables so that there's no radio signal to intercept or detect. And they can basically fly totally blind to the Israeli radars. This first clip contains vehicles and rocket launchers. The second is a building full of military people, and the last one's a tank. Do you want to keep pouring money into the deserts of the Middle East for this? There's no way of stopping it. Less total annihilation. Incredible. Let's go to clip 31 here. So, you know, Trump is talking about building an Iron Dome for America. I don't think that's the smartest investment at this point. I think we're sort of lucky here. We don't have to spend $200 billion or $1 trillion, however much it is, to build an Iron Dome just to later learn that it's totally useless. We get to learn how useless it is in real time right now, so we never have to make the mistake of thinking that these giant, you know, investments in radar arrays and missile launchers is even effective, let alone necessary. So once again, Hezbollah holding their own. The militia movement, the militia group of Lebanon, the independent citizens with a bone to pick, humiliating and beating one of the best resourced militaries in the entire world. And you would think if Trump was at all concerned about the well-being of the American people, which he reinforced today that he is not. He is not concerned at that. It doesn't even enter into his mind. He has one priority and one priority only, and that is to stop Iran from having a nuclear weapon that they weren't developing and don't have. So everything else falls to the wayside. Everything else can be sacrificed. Your well-being, the economic status of the world, the ability for us to grow and harvest food next year. It's all on the table for the sake of Israel, so that Israel can stand uncontested in the Middle East and dominate their neighbors with no pushback. Of course, the world around us is paying the price for it. India imports around 90% of its crude and has roughly 60 days of reserves left for 1.4 billion people. This is Ranjun Sharma explaining the measures that India is taking to shield itself from the economic fallout of the Iran war. We can go to clip number 10 here.
You see these basically tank farms,
yeah,
where you see all the oil is kept. India doesn't seem to have enough of those, both for jet fuel, for diesel, and for regular gas. Is that right?
I do agree with you, but I also disagree. I'll tell you why. So in the last few months, India has increased its domestic gas production, for example. Mm-hmm. So when the crisis hit, India is, of course, trying. It cannot happen overnight. But also we need to understand that India is a country that depends about 90% on imports when it comes to crude.
Right.
So yes, there has to be.
Is there a place it can, I guess what I've heard some people in the energy experts say is India and some other countries need to find a way to not only import it, but then when it gets there, find a way to keep it handy so it can't get into this kind of crunch that it's in right now.
Well, India has about 60 odd days of reserves at the moment.
Mm.
Is that enough? Maybe not.
For 1.4 billion?
Exactly. 1.4 billion people. More, we were just chatting earlier. The census is on now, so I'm pretty sure that number is going to be inflated.
So, yeah, things aren't going well. They just aren't going well for anybody anywhere in the world. By the way, been the worst U.S. wheat crop conditions in 30 years. This is from Finance Lancelot. The general public doesn't realize what's coming. Prepare accordingly. This is U.S. crop progress highlights, May 10th, 2026. Corn planted percentage-wise, only 57%. Corn emerged, only 23%. Soybeans planted, 49%. Soybeans emerged, 20%. Winter wheat conditions only rose to 28% of the expected. The global food shortage is about to get really bad in a few months, not only with 30% of fertilizer being cut off, but they're also prioritizing oil over wheat and grain shipments. Chaos in supply chain will be significantly worse than 2020, which is the plan all along and an inevitable consequence of the shutting of the Hormuz Strait, which itself was an inevitable and easily predictable consequence of the start of the Iran war in the first place. Now, there is some good news here. We can look to the people who are orchestrating this in order to benefit from it. That is the banking class, which is sort of the font of all evil in this country. J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are increasingly betting that the Strait of Hormuz reopens by June. So that's good. An assumption now acting as the central pillar holding global oil markets together, according to reporting highlighted by HFI Research. J.P. Morgan's base case anchors reopening around June 1st, while Goldman Sachs projects a gradual reopening finishing by late June. Under that scenario, Goldman sees Brent crude stabilizing before falling towards $90 per barrel by year's end. So far, the global economy has avoided a full-scale energy shock, largely because of two temporary buffers masking the severity of the disruption. Seaborne oil exports surged by roughly 3.8 million barrels per day year over year over the past month. China simultaneously slashed seaborne oil imports by 5.5 million barrels per day, apparently drawing down inventories instead of competing for supplies on global markets. According to HFI Research, these two shifts alone absorbed roughly $9.3 million of the 12.3 million barrels per day lost from the Middle Eastern flows due to the Hormuz disruption. Banks also point to unusually high pre-war inventories and shifts towards alternative energy sources as additional shock absorbers. So they do apparently intend for this to come to a close in June, which would be good news. I would ask, why not earlier? Why not earlier? Why let it continue for so long when everybody with any knowledge of the situation says that any hope of reclaiming victory of any sort from the jaws of defeat is basically impossible by this point, and we will simply be prolonging the suffering unnecessarily, achieving nothing, and yet causing possibly insurmountable shortages of certain necessary components of the farming process. But that's what they want, isn't it? So once again, it's just like the solution is obvious, but they won't do it because they don't want to, because they have other plans, actually. I already went to old Lindsey Graham here. But this story, of course, is a major one today. Southern California mayor steps down after being charged for acting as a Chinese agent. And get this, spreading pro-China propaganda. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing? An American politician being in coordination and conversation with a foreign state about messaging and propaganda, sharing that state's intended, you know, messaging and worldview and propaganda effort to the American people. Can you imagine such a thing? Thank God they caught the only person in the country doing this. Yet again, I can't help but think, like, all right, does this have something to do with a trip to China? Seems like it might. Eileen Wang, the mayor of Arcadia, California, a town just outside Los Angeles, stepped down from her position on Monday after pleading guilty to being an agent of the Chinese government. Wang was first charged in April, where she was accused of complying with direct orders from the Chinese government, such as sharing articles favorable to Beijing without registering as a U.S. foreign agent. What? I can't believe it. An American politician sharing articles that she's encouraged to share from a foreign government. I've never heard of such a thing here in America. I think you know where I'm going with this. I don't think it's hard to figure out what I think about this story. Am I glad that Chinese agent Wang has been discovered and taken out of action? Of course I am. Of course I am. Is it because China is the country in particular? No, absolutely not. I think anybody sharing any sort of content on behalf of or at the behest of a foreign state should be charged with treason. Absolutely. I think that should include Israel, which would require every single person in our government possibly to be arrested. So that might be a bit much to ask, but I think we could do it, and I think it would be in our country's interest to do it. So, you know, I have to sort of think to myself, like, is this Israeli derangement syndrome? Is this great? Here I am reading a story about a Chinese agent who's a mayor, and yet my thoughts go first to Israel. But is it not exactly what I said at the beginning of this episode? And I said a lot of people seem to treat Israel as if it just is America, and that it would never occur to anybody in a position of power that this exact thing happens every single day with American politicians taking orders directly from the Israeli government, sharing content directly from the Israeli government, taking money from the Israeli government, not registering as a foreign agent, and yet pushing their agenda. Is that not a constant, and does that not matter? Why? Because there are allies? Says who, and by what definition? And is that the law? Oh, because we have a military alignment with these people, you can then act as an unpaid agent for their nation, in our nation, in a position of power as a political representative? I just have trouble taking any of this seriously. I have trouble celebrating this when it seems as though the crime she's accused of is the open and avowed practice of Israelis in our government. Sorry, I don't really care that much about this. Now, the funny thing is, people posted a picture of the rest of the government of the city of Arcadia. I think they all might be Chinese agents. I can't say why. I just have a feeling that they all might be agents of China to one degree or another. But that's just me. They're all Asian. They're all Chinese is what I'm saying. I think that should be obvious. Meanwhile, we have just time to get to a few of these clips. The World Jewish Congress both exist, what, and met recently, and we've got some clips from it. Again, hard to not see this as sort of confirmation of everything the anti-Semites say. The mere existence of a World Jewish Congress seems to hint that the Jewish people see themselves as a separate and distinct nation state with interests to be coordinated and acted upon outside of the well-being or good nature of the countries in which they live. World Jewish President Ron Lauder describes how he influences world leaders, saying, "The fact I'm American and I'm talking on behalf of America and our president gives me power. It gives me power to cloak myself in the flag while actually representing my own interests. I can walk into any government's office all over the world, and behind me comes the power of the American people. Not that I am a part of them and like them or do anything for them, but I will use their power on my own behalf." Now, everybody should know by this point, Ron Lauder, heir to the Estee Lauder fortune. He's a multi-billionaire. He's a disgusting, despicable old skeleton man who shouldn't even be in our country. Let's go to clip six here. Ron Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress, King Jew. Here he is. Let's watch.
"Since October 7, all Jewish organizations in the United States together have spent upwards of $600 million fighting this avalanche of anti-Semitism. I have one question. Has it helped?
No, it hasn't.
Has all this money stopped? Even slowed down the hatred against us?
No, you keep killing Palestinians, so.
The answer is no.
Correct.
All the efforts from TV commercials to full-page ads and newspapers, conferences, all the attempts to tell the world the facts
lies
have accomplished very little. That's because anti-Semites already have access to all the facts. And they're not interested in the facts or truth.
Oh, right.
They have their own psychotic narrative that blames Jews for everything under the sun.
Wow, great point.
The Gaza
Ron.
War, the Jews started it.
Yes,
they the did. High cost of gas, the Jews.
COVID, well, the Iran war.
Developed in the Jewish laboratory. Global warming is the Jews.
Wow.
You are wasting your breath to reason with them. You cannot educate an anti-Semite. Case in point, since the Gaza war ended, the demonstrations haven't gone away. They've only grown more violent.
Because
only
the war's not over. You know, this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, they use words like facts and truth, and then they'll accidentally, like, reveal it. They're like, it doesn't help because the anti-Semites already have all the facts. I mean, not facts. I mean, they don't care about facts. We have the facts. The facts are the Gaza war's over. They should shut up now. Ignore the fact that we're continuing to bomb Gaza. Ignore the fact that we're continuing to do the Gaza agenda in Lebanon and we brag about it. They're supposed to shut up now because we paid money. Really goes to show you all the money in the world, all the connections in the world, all the billionaires with the, you know, Ron Lauder's son-in-law just got confirmed as a governor of the United States Federal Reserve and is slated and has been put forward by Trump to be the president of the United States Federal Reserve. So, you know, we're not talking about soft power here. We're talking about real, legitimate power. And they have all of it, and they have all the money, and they are still losing relentlessly because all the money in the world doesn't hold a candle to the truth, and we have the truth on our side. So keep spending money, idiot. It's not working.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.